How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
You see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater. The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in mixed company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WKFK. 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW. 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you. Stop on the run.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
All right, kids.
Yeah.
At his press conference yesterday, who was Mike Tyson speaking to directly?
Oh, no. And good morning, Mr. and Mrs. Have You Know Olives and all the ships at sea. They're DJs, talk DJs. They hate Clay Henry, and that's okay. Do their show anyway. Don Geronimo, Mike O'Mara.
Thank you. Thank you, Robin.
Wow.
Thank you for listening, everybody.
Whoa.
Don and Mike Show, brand new episode on this Wednesday.
Wednesday.
January 23.
January.
Phone number from anywhere in America, 877-365-3636. D.C. on WJFK. Here's your number, 202-432-1067. And where we are today in New York, WNEW, 877-692-1027. Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Buzz.
Hi.
Have You Know Olives? We will get into that in just a moment today. Today's show is, I know I say this a lot, but trust me on this. You have my guarantee as a DJ. Today's show is jam-packed.
Wow. Excellent. I'm looking forward to it.
We've got so much good stuff to get to today. But I'm afraid that the centerpiece, I'm not afraid of it, I love it. The centerpiece of today's show has to be, we had the reports late in the show yesterday.
Yes.
About Mike Tyson going nuts and fighting Evander Holyfield at the press conference and biting him on the ankle. And
Lennox Lewis.
Yeah, who did I say?
Evander Holyfield.
Yeah, Lennox Lewis.
Right. Well, you know, it's another biting incident, so it's an easy mistake to make, sure.
And maybe even biting through his shoe and biting through his sock.
Ouch.
But the best Mike Tyson moments came after all of that melee happened when a reporter asked Mike Tyson a question. And, well, here, and we want to thank Johnny, our New York producer, for cutting out the bad words. Here's Mike Tyson yesterday. You got to love this.
Oh, anybody in here can f*** the gym, man. This is awesome, man. You hoe. Come and say in my face, I'm f***ing for everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You're scared coward. You got man enough to f*** with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. Look at you scared now, you hoe. Scared like a little white bitch. Scared of the real man. I'll f*** you till you love me, faggot.
Now, you know who he's yelling at there,
I'll
right?
F you till you love me, faggot.
Who is he specifically? It's Rob, right?
No, to the reporters who are there. Because
Rob Spiewak!
And the reason he's yelling at the reporters is because when the fight broke out, one of the reporters yelled, put him in a straitjacket! and that's what set off Mike Tyson with that tirade.
Can I hear that again, perhaps?
Of course you can.
That's a lovely piece of tape.
Yeah. Here you go. Oh, hold on. First, a call about this, I think. Hello, Donna Mike Show. Hello. Hey, are the... Are the blowers activated?
Blower activate.
There we go. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Oh, hi. My name is Dennis. How are you?
Hi, Dennis. We're doing great.
I was watching the tapes last night, and that was such an obvious sham. I mean, when you first see Tyson throw a left, This man doesn't miss from 2 feet away. He connects all the time, and he missed by about 6 inches, and then Lennox Lewis turned around and threw a right.
I was talking to somebody about that today. I could see that you're talking about a fight with, although you've got the principles that people are interested in, there, you know, you've got it on the front page of every paper in the country today, and I think you should definitely hold out the possibility that this was
a stunt.
All right,
let's say the fight was a stunt. This tape that we're playing, that's not a stunt.
No, I think he got legitimately angry.
I will F you until you love me, faggot.
Yeah, I think he got a little out of hand.
Wow.
Right.
I mean, if maybe the first part was set up, but the second part...
No, the
second
part...
You're getting a glimpse of the real Mike Tyson
there. Absolutely right.
All right, and you want to... Thank you for the call, my friend. You want to hear it again?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Here you go. You're going to love it. You're going to hear about it a million times today.
Oh, anybody in here can't f*** the gentleman, man. This is awesome, man. F*** you, you hoe. Come and say in my face, I'm f***ing for everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You're scared coward. You got man enough to f*** with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. Look at you scared now, you hoe. Scared like a little white bitch. Scared of the real man. I'll f*** you till you love me, faggot.
Wow.
Boy, oh boy.
And Rob, that's got to be, you got to write that down for a future bumper.
Oh, yeah.
I'll F you till you love me, faggot.
My God, he was upset.
Mike Tyson, the man.
Sounds like a little prison talk there, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. There you go. God damn. Uh-huh. And you don't see that on, I was watching specifically on ESPN.
Right.
Where they covered the event, and all they did on ESPN was show the little melee with the two of them. And then it was the reporter standing outside the hotel saying, well, this does not bode well for Mike Tyson's return. It wasn't until I went on CNN that I saw that part with him standing on top of this podium on the stage, just pointing at the reporter.
You know, what's funny is when you're hearing the people say this doesn't bode well for having the fight, but I would think when you're talking about the money that's involved now, the kind of publicity that this got, this might bode very well for the fight. I think the vast majority of people, boxing fans, if you ask them, they're going to want to see this fight come off, regardless of Mike Tyson's behavior.
Non-boxing fans
now want to get involved. They want to see the rematch. I think that you're going to see the money people put a very good effort forward to seeing this fight come off.
I'll F you till you love me, faggot.
Wow. Right.
Oh, anybody in here can't f*** the gentleman, man. This is awesome, man. F*** you, you hoe. Come and say in my face, I'm f***ing you for that.
No, hold on. It's F you, you hoe.
Now, that's when I think the guy said, put him in a straitjacket. And that's when he said, F you, you hoe.
Right. Everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You're scared coward. You got man enough to f*** with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. Look at you scared now, you hoe. Scared like a little white bitch.
You hunk?
Scared of the real man. I'll f*** you till you love me, faggot.
Wow.
The man was upset. What can we say?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Very angry.
You know, I had a meeting yesterday with the president of CBS Radio. That's why I was late for the show.
Thought you were going to say you had a meeting with Mike Tyson yesterday.
No, and as a matter of fact, at one point, we had a good conversation. But at one point, he got me so angry that I said to him, Dan, I will F you until you love me, faggot. So it's I guess it's not uncommon if one heterosexual man gets mad at another heterosexual man.
It's a simple method of expressing frustration.
Perfectly normal.
Hello there, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Buddies.
Hey, buddy.
There's a part of that tape that you aren't getting where he tells the guy he's going to eat his a-hole alive.
Oh, my God.
How do we
not
get that?
Not on the tape you have, but I was listening to O&A yesterday, and they had the clip.
Wow.
Dave, clearly, you hear him. He said the full word on the tape that he'll eat his a-hole alive.
Alive.
Johnny, where do we get it? We got it from CNN, I guess.
ESPN has the clip. Has the whole clip.
We'll go there. Thank you.
Oh, my God. I'd love to hear that.
Bye.
Bye.
I'll eat your a-hole alive.
Wow.
Yeah, that man was upset. I mean, give him a break.
He sounds hungry.
Hello. I like Mike Tyson.
Donna Mike show. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
Hey, my friend.
Yo.
It's misunderstood.
Yeah. Misunderstood. Anybody that would go on national TV and tell somebody he will F them until they love him has got to get in the boxing ring.
Absolutely.
This man has got to fight.
Well, listen, if you say that to a girl.
You know, maybe you say it to a girl, but you don't say it to a guy.
But that's the whole point. That's how crazy this guy is, and that's why he will fight this fight.
All right. Thank you, my friend.
Yep. Thanks. Peace, buddies.
See you later. Bye-bye.
I thought he was wearing a nice outfit.
Yeah, very slimming.
Yeah, it was very slimming.
Lisa. Oh, F you too. You love me, faggot. See, I guess it didn't work on a girl either. No.
She did not seem amused by that at all.
Lesbo, I guess. I'll F you too. You love me. Lesbo.
Now, if you said it to me, it'd be a different story.
I'm not going to say it to you.
My neighbor.
I know. Again, what are the odds?
Oh, you ran into him?
Now, listen. Now, what are the odds? I spoke to Mike on the telephone this morning to talk about this meeting that I had with the guy from CBS yesterday.
Right.
And I said to Mike, listen, do you want to ride over to the station together?
Oh, very nice.
And he said,
I can't because I got a leaking ceiling.
So I said, okay, I'll see you there.
Right.
Well, as it turns out, I got bogged down with some stuff. And
yeah, Don leaves about, 25 to a half an hour earlier than I do.
Ah.
And that was the main reason, because I had some stuff that I wanted to, take care of, which is basically lying in bed a little longer. So.
Which is how it is at home, too. I mean, I arrived at the station roughly 90 minutes before you do, but here it's slightly different.
Yes, absolutely.
But the roles are reversed today, because as I am coming down, I got tied up with a phone call and stuff, and I'm coming down to the lobby.
What are you doing, waiting for me in the hallway, or what?
I come down to the lobby, and I see Mike getting into the cab. And
right.
And I scream at the door, and I go, stop that car. I feel like Elvis, hey, stop that plane. I'm a federal officer. And he bangs.
I'll give myself credit, though. My greeting to you was much better than the greeting would have been if the roles were reversed.
No, you're right.
I gave you a, well, hello. You normally go, oh, God.
No, you're right.
Yeah, it was.
You're right.
I welcomed you into the cab that we shared to the diner.
So the guy slammed on the brakes.
Don jumped in, and I had the companionship all the way.
Wonderful.
It was delightful.
So we do want to talk about getting here, about getting to New York from D.C.
Oh, yeah.
We did have the amazing race where we had planes, trains, and automobiles. Mm-hmm. And I am proud to tell you, while observing all local speeding ordinances, mm-hmm. and while battling rush hour traffic in D.C.
Yes.
and rush hour traffic in New York,
right.
I made it here first in my vehicle.
Yes.
I made it here first in my vehicle.
Very close, though.
Lisa, I did. You know I did.
Very close.
What time did you get into the building?
7:12.
Yep, here comes Lisa to dispute this.
Hold on. Now, yesterday you didn't dispute it when we were on the telephone.
No, you said, where are you? And I said, I'm just about to the hotel. And Richard said one block. You were like, oh, I'm four blocks from my place.
And then, because you got caught up in traffic, I said, while we were still on the phone, I said, oh, I'm at the garage.
Yeah, and I was in front of the hotel. It was a tie.
No, yesterday. No. Yesterday, and listen, Ricky. Yesterday, you acknowledged that I was the worst.
Yes, you did. I just didn't dispute.
You know, I'd like to point out that no one has specifically asked me what time I got to the building.
Oh. What time did you get to the apartment building?
Well, the train got into Penn Station at probably about 10 before 7, uh-huh. which got me to the building probably somewhere between 5 and 10 after 7 o'clock.
Wow. You're S-ing me.
I am not S-ing you. I know I was in the cab at about 5 after 7.
That's the magic when you can.
And I was about halfway there, so I think he dropped me off at probably about 10 after 7.
Mm. That'd be close.
Yeah, it was very close.
Do you have documentation on that?
No, I don't.
Because Lisa and I know that we were talking. It was Lisa and Buzz in a car, and I'm in my car. Rob caught a later train. Mike, maybe you did win.
Yeah, well, I deserve to win because I put the greatest effort forward in getting here.
All right. No, you know what? I forgot that. I'll give that to you. So
I'd like to say to the Right to Lifers that were marching in Washington
Boo!
Yesterday, I'm going to F you until you love me, faggot.
I had absolutely no problem with the drive. Beautiful drive.
I don't know how you had a beautiful drive. I don't know how you got through. Well, I guess you went the Beltway, so yeah, you didn't get the downtown crap. Right.
I went through
downtown was nuts yesterday.
I went through the crap on Connecticut Avenue. You know, right, where they have all the construction, where apparently they're never going to get done with the construction on Connecticut Avenue.
You were not in the bad part of D.C. You did not hit the...
Mike, there is no bad part of D.C.
I'm not talking about bad part as far as crime. I'm talking about bad part as far as where the protesters were, where the marchers were.
It started right about at Charlie's house.
Yes, it did.
There was regular Beltway traffic, and then when I was coming into New York, I heard that there was a like an hour backup at the Lincoln Tunnel.
Yeah.
So just took the Holland Tunnel.
Excellent.
Follow that over to Hudson.
You are Mr. Driver. So yeah, well, congratulations for getting there about 5 minutes after I got there.
F you.
Wow. But you know, I'm probably seriously. I think I got into my apartment at about 20 after.
Okay.
I'm being honest.
Whatever.
Very close.
You get the prize, though, for the way you got to the train station, and I understand that Lisa had problems on the airplane.
She did.
With Buzz. You looked. I had a problem.
Planes, trains, automobiles, very difficult yesterday in Washington.
Okay, let's let Mike go first, because I know part of what he's going
to
say.
Well, I start out with the normal traffic situation, and I happen to turn the all crappy news station to hear a traffic report, and they indicate that there is an accident on 395 North. So I say, oh God, what's going to happen here? So I said, I'll give it as far as until I see evidence of this. I see evidence of this. I bail out into downtown D.C. thinking I'll shoot up, and then the next traffic report I hear is that they're having a major protest for the Right to Life people are all in town. Well, I had no idea that there were this many of them, but they were all there,
by bus.
And they happened to be coagulating at the train station where I was headed.
Smart.
And it was absolutely impossible. Every artery heading towards Capitol Hill, every single road was jammed, not only with pedestrians, with their signs of the, their disgusting, horrible signs that they had, which I got so sick of seeing, I was ready to flip out.
And, I don't want to take sides on this, and I don't want to turn this into an issue about pro-abortion, anti-abortion.
Oh, I don't care what your politics are. You're inconveniencing my drive.
Let me just say, abortion, the disc jockey's best friend.
Oh, my God.
That's all I want to say is that I speak for all radio guys.
Oh, dear me.
Especially guys who
are... You're on your own there, pal.
Guys who are young and coming up the ladder right now.
Stop.
Equals good if you're a disc jockey.
Boy, that's just horrible.
You're going out with the phone pigs.
But it was so amazingly difficult to get to where I was going, and... my train was leaving at 4 o'clock. We get off the air at about, five or three, and it's, I can usually make it down there under ideal conditions. I can make it down there in a little less than a half an hour. I can zip down there. However,
as has been documented on this show,
with this particular situation, it became evident once I got on the side streets that because of buses and pedestrians and average traffic and cab drivers, I was not going to make it to Union Station without, let me say gently here, twisting the laws of the nation's capital.
Be honest. Tell them you drove on the sidewalk.
Only one time.
Oh, man.
Only one time. And it was not the entire vehicle on the sidewalk.
You almost hit people.
What I did was, I came up, I can't tell you the side streets because I think, they might actually, take a picture or something like that. But I got off on Constitution Avenue, and then I was shooting back up towards the Capitol, and all the traffic was going left, and there were all these buses, and they were parked. No traffic was moving anyway. So the only way that I was able to advance my vehicle and make it to my train on time, because this is not going to stop me from making my train,
was to drive on the side.
Well, first of all, what I did was I drove about probably 50 yards. I drove in the lane of oncoming traffic.
Oh.
Wow.
Because there was no oncoming traffic
coming. You crossed the yellow line.
The double yellow line.
Double yellow line.
I crossed the double yellow line, and then I went around, and at that point, I got to a pedestrian crossing, and that is when I said, the only way I'm going to get around this bus is to go up over the median where the pedestrians are crossing. So I took both wheels of my pickup truck, and I put them up on the median, and that's when someone went, hey, hey, hey! Like this with one of the signs, and I'm like, excuse me, Right to Life person, I've got to get to my train.
Yes.
And then I got through the next intersection, and it was the exact same thing with the buses parked, and I looked up ahead of me, and there was no traffic coming in the other direction, and I said,
Okay, let's try it again.
So you're driving on the wrong side of the road again.
Well, I probably went about 250 to 300 yards.
No, wow. That's frowned upon.
On the left-hand side of the road, where normally if there's traffic coming the other way, I would have been killed.
Wow, Johnny United Kingdom.
But I was completely freaked out, and I got to the intersection where the cops were directing all these buses, and
yes.
That's where all these rights and lifers were at the same location, and I finally got through this intersection, and I look, and it's 5 minutes before four, and I get in back of the last bus. This bus that's crawling up the parking garage ramp at Union Station, and I am, at this point, having a full-fledged, non-Paxil-related nervous breakdown where I'm in back. I am leaning on the horn. I'm going, E-D-D, get out of my way, you effer. And at this point, I go around him. I go up on sidewalk to get around this bus. I get around this bus. I almost hit a cab that's coming in the opposite direction. And then I probably, do you know when you, at Union Station, when you go up the ramp, then you cut across in front of one garage, you get to the other side of the parking garage, and you go straight up a hill?
Right.
I probably went about 60 up that hill.
God damn.
I was spinning my wheels going up there with my fishtailing with the thing, and I turned in. And then there's a ticket that's hanging out of the little thing, and I pull the ticket, and the little arm doesn't go up, so I press it again, and I go, and then I almost clip the little barricade thing, and I, excuse me for saying things so much, but what do you call these?
That is the traffic arm.
The traffic arm.
You know.
Thank you very much.
The traffic arm.
The safety arm.
So I hot-footed all the way up to the top of the parking garage, which is where you're allowed to park when you're staying long-term at Union Station, and as I come up over the ridge, there is a car. It's so crowded up in the parking area that there is a four-wheel drive vehicle that is going up onto an area of sidewalk to park, and he is stopped. He is stopped with his stupid SUV right across the... And I jam my brakes on, and I come 3 inches from this guy. And you know what the guy does? As opposed to moving, he gives me The look. What are you doing? I'm just going to stare. And that's when I just... I roll down my window. I lean out, and I say, move your effing car! And he very quickly pulls up on the sidewalk.
I'm glad your medication's helping you, man.
Medication didn't help at all.
I'm glad.
Well, I'm weaning myself off it right now, so I'm taking less.
Beware.
Yeah, I'm hearing that
I'm taking less of it.
You drove on the sidewalk twice.
Mm-hmm.
You drove on the median. The wrong way.
Three times I drove up the road, you know, where people were going. It was really because there was no traffic coming in the other direction.
You went the wrong way, crossed the double yellow line in D.C., drove the wrong way of the road, and then you almost ran into a guy.
D.C. has no ability to control crowds. They don't know how.
Right.
They have no idea what they're doing. They just let these people take over downtown, and I got a train to catch, and F these people that can take a regular work day after the holiday. What?
You are. They take Mike Tyson off his meds.
Yeah.
Before his fights.
Well, let me tell you this right now. What pisses me off is the fact that we're all back at work after the Martin Luther King holiday, and these people are just like on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Thousands of them, just going around, don't kill babies, and they're walking around, and they're screw them. Go to work. Get a job, for God's sake. Don't preach your morality to me.
A lot of seniors.
You humps. You stupid humps. I'll knock you down with my pickup truck.
All right. Now, listen.
Swear to God. How do you like your right to life under the wheels, under my BF Goodriches? Humps.
Ladies and gentlemen, you tell me you've just heard this man.
I'll ask you two, you love me, faggot.
You just heard this man speak.
Here's the deal. But wait, Lynn, I didn't finish yet. So I get up, and this is when the dream situation. I pull over by that elevator, that elevator, and I see, and there's a space. There's no space on the upper level.
The secret elevator.
But a space materialized, and there was a space. A car had just left, so I got super, super lucky. So I pull into this space, and then I run. And, man, I've got this horrible cold. I am sweating. I am feeling just horrible. I am in the middle of a migraine. I have a migraine headache at this point. And I decide that I can wait for
a mess.
I can wait for the elevator, or I can take the escalator. Either one, I am not going to make the train. So what I do is I run like O.J. in the Hertz commercial. I run straight down the stairs. And I run down to the stairs, and by the time the stairs open up to the bus terminal, and that's, again, where there is this sea of people with posters,
wow,
getting back on their buses to go home. where they took a day off. Humps. And so I have to weed my way through them, and I finally sprint through. And that, at that one point, one of the ticket ladies for Amtrak goes, hey, 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 you're going to make it. You're going to make it.
Wow.
And that's when I breathe a sigh of relief, and I get on my train with just, it was though somebody had soaked my shirt in water. And I'm just, and this one lady who's reading her newspaper as I sit down and just looking at me, you know, with the little...
You know, what's the problem? What's the problem? Why are you so heavy breathing?
And I just wanted to turn around and go, F you, woman, with your fur, with your little fur collar.
Ladies and gentlemen, I offer to you members of the jury. Uh-huh. Separated at birth.
Oh, anybody in here can't fuck with this man, man. This is awesome, man. You hoe, come and say to my face, I'm gonna f*** you up for everybody, you bitch, come on, you bitch, you're scared coward, you got a man in the f*** with me, you can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch, look at you scared now, you hoe, scared like a little white f***, scared of the real man, right, I'll f*** you till you love me, faggot, I will, wow.
Will get out of my way. You know?
Now you have some support calls on this.
Good, good. I mean, it was ridiculous. Anybody that was downtown in D.C. is going to support me on this, these bunch of a-holes.
Dave, you're on the air. Dave, hi.
Hey, Don, Mike, how you guys doing? Let me tell you, look, I worked all day yesterday. Matter of fact, I even worked on Martin Luther King's birthday. Now I'm on my way home yesterday.
Good for you.
Every exit, as you're coming up 395, as you're getting close to the city, cops have it blocked off.
Right.
Because you can't pull in down. I was pissed off.
You know, I can understand that the nation's capital is the seat of government, and you're going to have people that are going to want to express themselves. It's their right to do so, but you do have to respect the people that work for a living in downtown Washington, and you can't shut down a city just because some people want to walk around with posters all day long.
Well, I think that all the disc jockeys should get together, and we should go have a pro-abortion rally.
No, you should stop that.
And
right
we, and what we should do is
you're politicizing this issue.
What we should do is we should inconvenience those
making
folks.
This political.
We should inconvenience those folks who inconvenienced you.
This is terrible.
Look at all the disc jockeys with signs driving on sidewalks.
Right.
I know that in this studio alone, mm-hmm. that has graced some of the best and some of the worst radio talents ever.
Right.
In the history of radio,
right,
I am
yes.
betting. In the hundreds.
Hey, sir, is the guy still on the line?
Yeah.
Sir, did you see a larger collection of lunatics in your life?
No. Well, you want to know something? I couldn't even get to that point.
You couldn't even get off 395?
I couldn't get off. I actually had to go all the way up to South Capitol Street, and I wasn't going in the city anyway, but there was so much traffic from people that normally would get off. Still on 395 when they normally would get off. The traffic was backed up 395.
Yeah, I mean, whatever the scheduling was done for these protests or these marchers, you were winding their march up at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, just completely inconveniencing people to work downtown.
Well, let's get them back. Let's get Johnny Dark on the telephone.
Oh, that's right.
Let's get Big Don O'Brien on the telephone and
Johnny Walker.
Let's talk about all the
Scott Mooney,
Big Don O'Brien.
All the RLAs that have happened.
J.J. McKay.
All of the request line abortions that have happened.
That's right. J.R. Russ.
In the world of
Uncle
radio.
Johnny.
There have been a few.
Uncle Johnny.
Surf.
Oh, no.
Young Dave Brown.
Oh, YDB. Grease Man.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my. Oh, you're late.
Hey, we're pro-choice.
All right, hold on. Don and Mike show. Hold on. Lisa, come on back in here. Tell us about the train or the plane. Hello. Don and Mike.
Oh, my God. Holy Christ. Welcome back to Real Mike O'Mara. This is
Thank
the guy
you.
I love from the very beginning.
This is Glenn.
This is Glenn.
Yeah, man. I can't believe it. You're back, Mike.
Thank
Get
you.
Off the Packley is so much more funny with the energy, man.
Thank you.
Listen. Imagine if he drove all the way to New York.
Right.
It's a good thing he was on his way to the train station.
I love you. Right.
Hey, listen. Hey, Tyson almost said honky. That's the word that you thought he was going to say.
Gotcha. Okay. All right, Glenn.
Well, I love you guys. Stay off the packs of my friend Mike.
All right.
You're funny. Even more exciting than riding a bike.
Okay. Yeah, thank you.
There he goes.
Goodbye. See, if Mike had driven, I don't think Mike would have gotten worked up because... there were no problems.
I was great once I got on the train, though. I relaxed. You know, I had a Diet Coke. I was fine.
I haven't been on the on the New Jersey Turnpike in years. Are there even sidewalks on it? I mean, how would you?
No sidewalks.
Sidewalks. And let me make it clear. We're not talking about the sidewalk per se. We're talking about the median. That was, yes, it was a sidewalk, but it was only just a brief period of time, and I didn't hit the woman.
Yeah. Hard.
The one guy with the ski cap, the poster, I almost hit.
They all had ski caps and posters.
They did. A lot of them.
You know what I saw is a lot of hip young monks that had, like,
yes,
good-looking
right,
haircuts
yeah,
and the long brown robes.
You saw a lot of the men of the cloth. It was very
hip
strange.
Hip young monks.
I know. In the blue?
Yeah. And long robes and, like, huge beards, like Santa Claus beards, but these guys are, like, 25.
Hip young monks in blue robes.
Hey, the monk man.
How are you? Look at my poster.
You know, my only complaint.
I don't care what the issue was. Incidentally, I'm not taking this out exclusively on the right to lifers. They just happened to be in my way on my way to the train.
Yeah, I wanted to kill them.
And then none of them were on the train. They were all taking the bus.
Of course, they all take buses. That's why you meet at the train station.
That's right. Because in Washington D.C., we have the benefit of having our bus station and our train station in the same spot.
Everyone get on a Martz brand bus.
Jesus.
My only complaint.
I have a splitting headache.
This is just pale in comparison, but on the New Jersey Turnpike, when you stop to get gas.
Mm-hmm. Would somebody give you free gas or something? Oh, no. Great for you.
No, it was just a slight inconvenience. You got the gas pumps on both sides.
Sure.
Right. But they do this deal where it's full serve. You can't pump it yourself. And the you can only get gas, like, on the left-hand side. Wow. So you have a line of cars. I had to wait, like, 10 extra minutes to get gas.
Sorry.
No.
Sorry.
Did anybody have any posters in the line?
No. Any monks? There
are no monks, no posters.
I can't imagine.
Ron Lundy was there, though. and he was out there, and he was screaming, "I love abortions." So Music Radio 77 loves abortions.
It's starting, man.
Hey, and then when I got home last night, when I got to my apartment in our building, I sat down after 3 hours on the train. It was time to take a dumperoo. Yes. And as I sat down, I felt cold water bouncing off my neck.
Oh.
And there was S water from the toilet above me and the apartment above me bouncing off my neck.
Oh, no.
But then I determined that it might be my own toilet water that's, like, coming through a pipe. And to make a long story short...
It'd be better if it was your own S water that was hitting you on the back of your neck rather than someone else's S water.
It's disturbing, though, when you're trying to, you're trying to defecate and you have water torture on the back of your neck. And, they were trying to fix that today. But I've been kind of snake bit with... Well, that building you recommended.
Brown's man.
So it's your fault now.
Right. Lisa. Lisa, what were the problems with the airplane?
What weren't the problems with the airplane? Oh, first, man. Buzz and I get to the airport with plenty of time to go.
Right. Yep.
And we go to check in, and it appears that Buzz is going to have some problems getting his ticket.
Naturally.
Right.
They had a reservation, but it hadn't been paid for. So there was a big tie-up at the counter, and I thought, okay, here it begins. And I was expecting personally to have trouble with security that day, but I didn't. Lisa did.
Yeah, I did. Well, now the problem with the ticket has now turned to me. Buzz gets his tickets printed out, no problem, and now they can't find my reservations after seeming to have them. So we call the travel agent. She's on the phone with the guy behind the counter. They're going back and forth. Finally, we all get our tickets, so we're all happy.
Yeah.
So you have the preliminary check to get to security with your ID and your ticket, and the woman looks at me and says, points at my backpack and says, "Is there a laptop in there?" And I said, "Well, no." She said, "Well, you can't take a backpack on as your personal belongings bag." And this is my second bag now. Now, remember, Buzz has two bags as well, mm-hmm. his personal bag and his suitcase.
So this is the new security we're talking about.
Right,
apparently.
Exactly. Well, why is that? Why are backpacks?
I have no idea.
Good question.
You could put something bad in a briefcase.
Even a pilot took me aside and said, the bag she had is no different than the bag you have, and I have no problem with either bag going on the plane. Yeah, but he said next time have her fold up the backpack and put it inside her suitcase along with its contents.
Which is what I had to do. Mm-hmm. I said to the woman, first I said, so if I cut off one of my straps and had one strap on my bag like the gentleman here, this would be okay? And she said yes. And I said, okay, well, thanks for the info. So I have to unpack my suitcase, take everything out of my backpack, and stuff it all into my suitcase backpack.
Did you have any unmentionables in there?
Your underpants? Your bras?
Did you have any unmentionables?
Where do you think I put them? Yeah. They were in my suitcase.
Your tampons?
I had them.
In my suitcase.
Your vibe?
Pads?
I don't travel with pads. I don't wear pads, and I don't travel with it, Don.
Your dill.
Pads with wings.
Your big black dill.
It's not black, it's pink, thank you.
Dill.
Anyhow.
Nice dill.
So she has to open her bag out in the hallway.
Look at that.
Wow.
Whoa, that didn't set off the alarm.
All right, so you got to unpack all your unmentionables.
Big pile of dills.
Your thongs.
Very embarrassing.
Your oils. Your anal keys. Oh, hold on. We are making Mike. Mike is going to, I swear to God, he's going to die on the show today.
Oh,
one way or the other.
I got a headache. Okay, go ahead.
Are you done?
All right, hold on. Just remember, kids, when you're thinking about Lisa's dill,
yes.
It's not black. It's pink.
It's pink.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Let's remember that. Okay.
You with oils. Your lotions. Okay, I'm sorry.
Are you done?
I'm done.
Great.
I'm fine.
So I have to unpack in front of everybody.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I breeze through security. I go through the metal detector and the x-ray machines. Everything's fine.
The guy who's
God forbid they had to go through your bag.
Yeah.
You pull a medical supply.
A lucky break for me.
Again with pads.
Right. So I take off all my...
Buzz's dills.
Mine's black.
Buzz's big black deal. Oh. All of Buzz's oils.
Salt.
Buzz's please.
Don't leave home without it.
What did you say, salt?
Yeah, it's bath salt.
No, it's bubble bath.
Oh, my
sure
God.
It's sad.
Buzz's thongs.
My many ointments.
Bottles of ace bandage.
Wow.
Okay, so Lisa.
Well, I take off all my jewelry, put it in my suitcase so that I don't beep. When I go through the metal detector. Of
right.
course, I do beep.
Anyway.
So I have to get my arms out to the side. I get searched with the metal detector.
The
and they
wand.
Have to look
yeah.
at my belt and ask permission to touch
Ooh,
my belt.
Did they
yeah.
make you undo your pants? And here's why I ask. That I talked to Jason last week, who flew up to New York, and he said on his flight back, Mandy Moore, that the pop superstar, mm-hmm. Mandy Moore was on the same flight, and the security, and I would do this if I was security
sure.
as well,
right.
made her unbutton her pants.
Really?
Yeah.
No, they didn't make me unbutton. They just touch around my belt buckle.
Because she had the big kind of belt buckle, too, right? That
I don't know.
Mandy Moore has.
All I know is that Jason Vesey said that he was in line, and they made Mandy Moore open her pants.
Wow.
Really? Yeah.
For maybe a pierced thing.
I don't know.
Who knows?
And I don't know if they get a...
That'll scratch your dill.
How the hell do you check that? I mean, you know, the guy go down there and give her the old reach around?
That's right. Well,
you're okay, Miss Moore.
Thank you for flying in front of the sky.
Yeah, goes down there, smells his hand. Goes,
smells okay
no,
to me.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No bombs.
Enjoy your flight.
Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Mike.
So where were you?
I don't remember.
We finally get through security after she gets searched with the wand.
Well, after I get searched with the wand, I look over to the conveyor.
Was it big and black or big and pink?
It was big and black.
Yeah, very good. Big black wand.
And a woman's holding my purse and goes, "Is this your purse?" Said yes. She goes, "May I search it, please?"
Yeah, baby.
So you were searched. I mean, basically, you had to empty out your backpack.
And out come hundreds of birth control pills.
You can only take one a day. Why would I have hundreds?
And then your purse was searched after
IUDs.
Diaphragms.
Sponges.
That's right. Vaginal sponges.
Contraceptive jelly. She was searched and probed at every turn.
Wow. She gets to my makeup bag and she opens it and she pulls out my cuticle pusher.
What's that?
And thing
it's a manicure
push down your cuticles.
Oh,
when
cool.
I
think girls use for their
right.
nails.
And she holds it up and she's waving it around asking for someone to come and approve this. And some guy's, you know, inspecting it as fully as he can. I said, you know what?
Chasing
throw it away.
Keep it.
I don't care. It's not important to me. I can buy another one. So I get all my stuff back together and we walk towards the gate. So we're sitting down. I unpack my bag again and repack my backpack with all my work stuff. And I say to Buzz, "Hey, Buzz, you want to start the line?" So
can I just interject here? Because this is serious. I think really that if you're talking about the profiling, I read an article that there are two types of individuals that they are profiling. One, of course, is the Arab-looking kind of guy. But the other are attractive women.
Really?
Because
in
many cases,
get their rocks off.
No, in many cases, you have women that are befriended by some of these guys, and they're used as carriers for some
like
stuff.
Like reverse smokescreen. That
absolutely
would be the least likely.
I mean, I don't know whether there'd be like a profile sheet or something like that, but it wouldn't surprise me.
All I know is that if you get called out of line and you hear like, hello, I would like, we would like the following people to come up. Jameel, Leroy, Harrington, also John Brady Smith, and Hakeem Hwandu Hwangaka. You know that the other two guys, they're not the ones being profiled.
Exactly.
You know, it's the third guy that So why put the other two guys, you know,
to make it look good?
Why put, you know, well, never mind.
Right.
I made my point.
So Lisa and I get first in line.
I will F you until you love me, faggot.
Wow. Lisa and I get first in line to board the plane.
Great. And I hand the woman my ticket and my ID, and without even looking at me, she said, please step behind the black line to the tables over there. And I said, for what? Bag search.
So you got searched again?
So I had to go behind the black line. Remember, I'm first in line. Okay, I go over, search my bags, take off my shoes, take off my jewelry, get searched, get patted down.
Whoa!
Right?
Yes.
Baby,
Was a man searching you or a woman?
It was all women.
All even better.
Prison matrons.
Yes. Take off your jewelry, dear.
And I sailed right on the plane. And then when we got seated, there was a woman in front of us who was crocheting with sharp metal crochet needles. Lisa's cuticle pusher got taken away, but they let a lady with crochet needles on the plane.
Yeah. That's true. She could have knitted a gun.
No. Stabbed with a crochet needle. Right.
Lisa, we got to break because there's more, right? No, I know there's more. Because
there's more.
Because I spoke to you on the telephone during the Amazing Race.
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did, Ricky. So, listen, let's...
And I hope your drive was great.
It was, Rick. Let's break here. Hey, listen, what I have for you right now, call 100, the Cousin Brucey CBSFM abortion coat hanger.
Oh, no, stop it.
You are the 100th caller. Your choice. You can have the Goldie Oldies 100 abortion coat hanger.
Oh, stop.
Oh, God. Now, we do have a prize package selected especially for you. Abortions, they're just not for disc jockeys anymore.
Oh, no.
Oh, come on. Listen, I'm kidding. I'm fun. Call 100 right now.
Of course.
Yeah, you're kidding. Of course. 877-365-3636. 100th caller now. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Okay, hi, this is Dorm Radio, D-O-R-M, broadcasting live from the Basement of the Science Building. Great.
Come, cup their peaches. Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Hey, Buzz, I want to ask you if this is true. I'm looking on the instant feedback here.
All right.
At WNEW.com, and it says, hey, guys, I want to vouch for the problems that Buzz and Lisa had at the airport yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I was sitting right across the aisle from Buzz on the 5:30 shuttle. Since Lisa seemed a little nervous on the takeoff, I wanted to tell you that I was the resident air marshal for the flight.
Wow.
I didn't want to bother them, but I want to say hello and tell you that. Also, the nature of my job does not allow me to identify myself, even to Buzz. Buzz, I hope you enjoyed The Columnist. I read it just the other day, as I do a lot of reading on these flights. Tell the other members of the Great Race that the shuttle is the safest way to fly. We're always around. Was that the book you were reading yesterday?
The people at Delta are very nice, and yeah, that is the book I was reading. It is a great book.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
man. So you were with an air marshal.
Yeah.
And,
sitting right across from Buzz.
That's gotta make you feel pretty safe.
There was a cute boy sitting next to you.
that's excellent, because I really had no idea. I thought the air marshal was the guy in the red jacket at the back of the plane.
That's pretty cool.
Interesting.
That is very, very cool. Well, the skies are safer. Very good.
Listen, I just want to say that I have nothing to do with this. Rob, this one is directed at you.
Oh, really?
Rob, and I guess we'll check on this later during the show, go to menshealth.com. They did a study on the best and worst cities for men to live in.
Yeah?
I know how much Mike and Rob
hates Sacramento. Let me say Mike loves Sacramento.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, for finally giving me my props on that one.
I do, too.
But according to menshealth.com, the number one city for heart disease among men in America is Sacramento.
Now, that shocks me.
I'm amazed at that.
Me, too.
Number four city for fatal car accidents with men is Sacramento.
Really?
And that goes to number three when Mike's out there.
highest ratio of lung cancer in men in America.
Yeah.
Sacramento, number four.
Wow.
So, much love to Sacramento. I love you.
Wow.
I love you guys. And
I had no idea it was so dangerous and so low-key out there.
That
and
is also amazing. Happy people just don't get sick.
I do want to say hello to the good people of Portland, Oregon, who no longer have to suffer.
Both you guys now.
What?
Stop it, you guys.
We're not doing anything.
Yes, you are.
No. Not at all.
Stop it. I'm going to say what you're doing.
No.
I'm going to say what you're doing.
Not necessary.
We'll deny it. Don't do that. I know you'll deny it, but you know it's true.
No, it's not.
You
no.
Oh, it's true.
You.
Love you, Sacramento.
Yeah.
And Portland.
Stop it, Mike.
Okay.
The deal in Portland is that we have been on a one-hour tape delay.
Okay.
Okay, they've been running the show like 1 hour behind. Well, starting today, they wised up.
Oh, we are. Are we live in Portland, Oregon?
Yeah, so on KUFO now.
Yay.
Now you can actually hear and participate with the show every
Go Trailblazers.
Every day. Hello, Don and Mike Show. I love your fake relatability.
Way to go, Trailblazers.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, loggers.
Hello.
Is the blower activated here?
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Oh, that's
rude. See, no, hold on. No, there's the problem with that phone bank. I think you got to reset that computer again, Johnny. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, how you doing?
Hey, pretty good. You're the 100th caller. What's your name, my friend?
Oh, Saul. How you doing?
We're doing great. Where are you from?
I originally from New York. I'm heading back. I'm residing into Washington right now, Maryland, Bethesda.
Great, Chuck. All right, yesterday I had asked for some better prizes, and listen, wow.
Ask and ye shall receive.
They came through in spades. Watch it, Rob.
I don't know what you mean.
You have won a Contact prize pack.
Yay.
Who doesn't want a prize pack from Contact?
Hey, this time of year, it's a good thing to get.
Don't let a cold get you down. Be prepared. Use Contact.
That's right.
But wait, there's more. Ah, well, we went back to the vault and we got more copies of the two-disc DVD copy of MASH.
Yeah. Oh, that's a wonderful prize.
That's a good prize. Not the bad TV show. The
original
movie.
Cast, Elliot Gould, Donald Sutherland, you've got Loretta Swit.
Uncut and fully restored on Fox Home Entertainment.
Sally Kellerman.
And that's right,
Sally Kellerman. Thank you.
Hey, wait, hold on. And a three-disc DVD copy of the first season of the TV show MASH.
Which is the best season.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of MASH.
Wayne Rogers.
Excellent. 24 MASH episodes. So thanks for listening. Hold on just a second, my friend. Love you. Thank you for listening. Listen, this week, I think on today's show, we're giving away $500.
Wow.
And a two-night getaway to the Wintergreen Resort. And all of that is courtesy of Contact. Contact wants you to feel comfortable. Don't let a cold get you down. Be prepared. Buy Contact. Use as directed.
Please.
We will be giving away that money on the show today.
You know, I don't want to schmooze a sponsor, but I'll tell you that I used Contact yesterday, and I feel better today. It's my favorite.
Hey, Dill. Hey, hey, Dill, we're not done with hearing what happened to you on the airplane, are we?
Who's Dill? Lisa.
Lisa. Dill.
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 Yeah, Dill. Dill Doe.
Pink Dill.
Pink Dill.
Very good. A big pink
Dill.
Sorry,
I didn't know that was my new name.
Yeah.
So, hey, Rob, where's the light switch in here, like the dimmer switch?
Here, we can just point that away from me if you like.
Is that do you notice that, Buzz, that I feel like I'm a French fry right now?
I thought you were going to start singing The Impossible Dream.
Oh, thank you, Buzz. Very good.
Certainly.
Thank you for that help. I was really starting to feel like my forehead was starting to peel off.
That is the most athletic thing I've ever seen Buzz do in my life.
Did you see him jump up and down?
It was like watching the white Michael Jordan as he jumped up and
nice vertical.
Got the track lighting. Buzz,
I didn't know those were so easily moved.
Bring that athletic ability with you tonight.
I will try.
When the Fighting Gutterballs take on Howard Cosell's family, tonight we'll be bowling at the Port Authority in Manhattan. We will be taking them on at 8 o'clock tonight. Howard Cosell's grandchildren. Mm-hmm. And other members of the Cosell family.
You know, I will tell you, since it's right here in Manhattan, we're going to be fresh, we're going to be ready to go, and I think I'm looking for a win tonight.
Yeah, I think so.
Not in my Gutterballs versus the Fighting Cosell family.
The Cosells.
The Cosells.
They're buzz.
That's tonight, 8 o'clock. Love to see you. Come on by. We'll say hi and we'll get bombed with you. Lisa, who also got bombed last night, I understand, on one Mai Tai.
Yeah, I have no idea. We went to this Chinese food restaurant. It was a small glass,
Like the, one of the short glasses.
Yeah, low ball.
Right. One Mai Tai.
And by the end of it,
I was slurring.
Yes, it bombed.
Sometimes I'm losing it.
Chinese restaurants, they put things
yeah,
in the
I
drinks.
Yeah, I really think I'm losing it.
Like dead dog juice.
Yeah, dead dog fermented juice.
Oh,
geez.
That's disgusting.
Fermented dead dog juice. And S water. No, that's not true.
The MSG
makes it safe.
So what happened? What happened at the airport? What did we not get to? So when we last left, they were searching your bag again a second time.
Yeah. So I was first in line, and I ended up being the last person to get on the plane. And we're sitting there, and then there's an announcement that comes over the thing that there's a problem. There's a light out, and they have to have maintenance come in to see if they can fix it. We'll let you know in about 10 minutes.
Do you think? That on airplanes, because I have been on two separate flights with mechanical issues where they have said, did they say it was an indicator light?
Yes.
I have been on two flights where the mechanical problem was an indicator light.
Right.
And I wonder.
Like what, a turn signal?
Well, you know what? I'm wondering whether they say indicator light so as not to alarm people.
Maybe.
And
the engine's on fire.
The engine is not working. I'm just wondering because I've heard that, and I heard you guys talking about that, saying indicator light. I'm wondering whether they use that as kind of a generic mechanical issue problem.
Entirely possible.
So they had a problem with the indicator
light.
Yeah,
so we sit there for about 10 minutes more, and then they say they're going down to see if they can replace it. We'll let you know again. Well, they finally let us know that it's not going to be able to be fixed, so now we have to go to the 5:30 shuttle. But that's okay, because we're going to board first. So everybody gets off the 4:30 shuttle, and we just walk right to the gate for the 5:30 shuttle, and then we have to sit for another half an hour while the 5:30 shuttle gets boarded, and then we take off. And you know what? It was a great flight. I don't like to fly very much, but from what Buzz tells me, the turns were strong.
She was a little nervous.
A lot nervous.
Yeah, very nervous, especially as we were coming in for a landing and we started banking.
Well, wouldn't you be nervous if you had been virtually raped twice, three times violated with a big black wand at the airport?
And did you calmly sit down, Buzz, through the art of massage?
I took her arm and consoled her.
Very good.
What's that book? It's like that Japanese book of
tantric massage.
No. I'm thinking of a specific.
The Kama Sutra.
Yeah, that's what.
Kama Sutra. Yeah. That's the sexual book.
Yeah, where they got like pictures of.
I have that book. Books of with your legs pulled behind your ears and the man fully turgid.
That's what you did, right? Kama Sutra?
Exactly. I have a book.
So you guys get into town. Everybody gets to town. And then last night, I guess it was Buzz and Robbie and Lisa.
I cruised into town about 2 in the morning.
You were the last, weren't you, to get to town?
Robbie loses. And apparently I could have made it. But it was awfully close because the train was a little late getting out.
Yeah, the train was late. I could have called you. I forgot to call you. I called you once the train got rolling. I didn't know how far away you were.
That's helpful.
But,
Hi, Rob. I'm on the train that you've missed.
Yeah, well, I called him. If I had called him like 5 minutes earlier, because the train didn't get out of the station until about 5 after. And Rob said he got to the station at 2 minutes after.
Like 2 minutes after, and if I had taken the secret way, which, by the way, had discarded clothing in it.
Oh, really? Our secret way?
There was a pair of jeans
station.
And an undershirt.
Well, one has to prioritize, and it was a question of whether call Rob and say the train hasn't left yet or ask the individual on the train for more nuts. So
Buzz and Rob and Lisa, they go out to eat last night. They go see a CM. They go to see a Chinaman.
Nice Chinaman place.
Chinese restaurant, and then it's a spotlight on Buzz.
This was just a grand moment where...
You know, I told you we kid Buzz, like when he orders food and stuff, goof on him.
I've done it again.
Well, he came over and he did it. He ordered the drink perfectly, but the waiter just kept staring at him. And he said he'll have a martini, vodka, up, dirty. And the guy just kept looking at him. And he ordered it again like 3 times, changing the words around, trying to clink in to what would happen.
Now, I, as someone who is a drinker, would not know that term in fact, I think I had to ask you one time, when you order this drink dirty,
solid
what is
juice,
what does that mean?
Yeah, but it's a trend.
But you're a martini drinker, and I think the people that, even people in the business, that's not a common
term.
I think it's trendy now, though.
You're talking to a CM, though. I mean, you're going to a place where they're serving, you know.
Jesus.
Mushu, you know.
I know. It's mostly umbrellas.
Cream of some young guy.
Well, and I also think that...
I'm a dirty martini.
I really think that at a lot of Chinese restaurants, that alcohol is not a, it's not like a steakhouse where where drinking is part of the deal.
They do the umbrella drinks primarily. Right. And so the guy asked me, the Chinese waiter asked me, what do I want in it? What goes in a dirty martini? And I said, olive juice. And he looked at me again, stared at me perplexed.
After he said olive juice, he says, you want a twist? He says, no, olive juice, olives. And then Lisa says, olives. And then there's a long pause, and then Buzz says what is the funniest thing I've heard in 2 weeks. He says, have you no olives?
Have you no olives?
Have you no olives, sir? That finally broke through the language barrier, and the answer was no.
We got no olive for you.
Well, they didn't have olives.
No. For your dirty latini.
So he went to the natural second choice, a Long Island iced tea.
Then I needed it.
And then, like, 2 minutes later, another CM comes over with a better grasp of the language.
CM. God, guys. Stop it.
Did you want some juice in your martini? And Buzz says, it's all taken care of. I'm having an iced tea.
There you go.
But it was just...
Got some juicy martini?
All I could think of all night was, have you no olives?
Have you no olives, sir?
When Rob and I walked over to the deli to get the water and the supplies for today's show, the CM over there...
God, CM!
Here we go.
And it's a lady.
Yes.
Nana. She asked, where Lisa? And I said, and I made the sign like, she's getting hammered. I mean, the drink, she drinky?
No, drink too muchy.
That's what she said, drink too muchy. And I said to her seriously, I look at her and I said, yes. She's very sicky.
Very sicky.
Very sicky. And she goes, drink too much tea.
But
sicky.
You guys didn't order a dirty martini at the deli.
No.
All right, very good.
They had no olives.
Wow.
Had they no olives.
You know, once again, just let me say something.
Have you no olives, sir?
Who is the funniest person on the Don and Mike show? The listener.
Mm-hmm.
Instant feedback. Don and Mike. That lady with the knitting needles was very dangerous. She could have been knitting an Afghan.
See?
That's funnier.
That is.
Than anything I promise we'll say on the whole show today.
She could have been knitting an Afghan.
And we're getting it from more than one person.
That's pretty funny.
I mean, we should think of these jokes, right?
I understand.
I'm getting it from some guy in D.C., the next one's from New Jersey. I hope they kept an eye on the woman on the plane with the knitting needles. She might have been trying to knit an Afghan.
There it is again.
We're the only guys not coming up with the funny stuff.
I know.
Here.
What's wrong with us?
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
We said Dill, though.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hi, you're on the air.
Hello, Don and Mike. I know what's in a dirty martini.
Okay.
It's both sweet and dry vermouth.
Well, I've heard it's just that you just pour some olive juice
in there. It's the olive juice that makes it a dirty martini. Vermouth is fairly standard to a vodka martini.
Right.
You can also try to pour it down the crack of your ass.
That would make it a dirty martini.
Try that. That's a dirty martini. My, this martini tastes funny.
Don and Mike show.
Don, Mike.
A fabulous corn martini.
Why is there hair in my martini?
Quarantini.
Hello, Don and Mike. Yeah, hi.
Yeah, this is Tom. I just won your 100th caller contest there, and they kept me on hold in there.
All right, hold on. Yeah, right. No, I'm putting you back on hold. Apparently nobody picked up. I left the line open, and Lisa came in and gave me a note, said, put him back on hold, and I guess I didn't put him back on hold. Sorry. I'm a dummy. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, where's the love? It's 6 minutes after 9 here. I turned on my radio at 9 o'clock. You guys are already on. I missed the whole hour of the show.
Where are you calling from?
Portland. I'm used to having to turn on an hour delay.
You get it now?
At 9 o'clock.
No, you get it live now in Portland. The show now.
I know, but now you're talking about knitting an Afghan. I missed the whole damn show.
I'm sorry, but listen, I've got nothing but... Do you want to know where the love is? The love is for radio station KUFO in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
They
didn't say anything yesterday.
Which is incidentally...
putting you guys on at regular time.
The very first West Coast affiliate to run the entire show live, 8 a.m. to 12 noon West Coast time.
Fantastic.
Cool. Okay, listen. I'll give them a little bit of props for that, but I missed an hour of the show.
Well, you won't miss it tomorrow, will you?
No, I won't, but now I'm totally behind.
Well, that's just tough.
You missed a good hour, though. You missed Mike going mental. You missed Lisa's pink dill.
Yeah, you missed a whole bunch of good stuff.
You did. As a matter of fact, you missed the whole table setting for the whole show today.
You missed the Mike Tyson.
I'm not going to listen to the rest of the show.
Hold on. You know what? You missed the Mike Tyson.
You
want
to give him the Mike Tyson tape?
Yep, you want the Mike Tyson tape?
I'd love the Mike Tyson.
All right. Here's the Mike Tyson. This is what you missed. This is really the focus of what you missed.
Oh, anybody in here can't to just learn, Mike. This is the ultimate, man. You hoe. Come and say in my face. I'm f***ing for everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You're scared coward. You got man enough to f*** with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. Look at you scared now, you hoe. Scared like a little white f***. Scared of the real man. I'll f*** you till you love me, faggot.
Wow! Did we ever find the complete tape on that?
No. John went to ESPN.com, CNN.com. That part has absolutely vanished.
Okay.
The part where he says, "I'll eat your a-hole."
Johnny, you couldn't find the part about eating the a-hole?
No, actually, ESPN cut out all that stuff. Wow. They talk over the whole thing. CNN is the best one for the whole rant.
Gotcha. Thank you, John. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah.
Turn your radio down, honey. Turn your radio down, please.
Okay. Are they in New York today?
You're talking to us, honey, and yes, we are.
Hi. I'm so sorry. God, I really wanted to ask you guys. You've been talking about how wonderful Seattle is and Portland or whatever, and I'm really happy, but how's D.C. doing?
How's what?
D.C.
What do you mean, how's D.C. doing? D.C.'s doing great. Why?
Because I was so worried. You know, you guys shifted, and I've got to, like, change my time of listening to you, and I was really hoping you guys are still doing great because we all love you still.
Are you calling from D.C.?
I certainly am.
Oh, no, honey, listen, we got the ratings last week. I mean, you guys did great. We moved the whole audience with us to the big time slot. Yeah.
We're delighted with Washington, D.C. Things are going great.
Oh, good. I'm so glad to hear it because you shifted times, which meant I had to shift my schedule. But that's all right because it's worth it.
Oh, well, thank you. Isn't that nice? You know, that's...
I'm so glad you're doing well here. Keep it up.
I am... Let me give you something, for goodness. Let me give you the Kathy Whiteside Oldies 100 abortion coat hat.
Oh, stop that.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, honey.
Congratulations.
Yeah. We do appreciate it.
Thank you so much, honey.
Hold on.
Don and Mike show.
Oh, God damn it, honey.
God damn it, honey.
I just wanted to say that Spokane runs 8 to noon.
Oh, all right. Well, then Portland was not the first. Uh-huh. I take it back. Okay, thank you, my friend.
All right, thank you.
We do stand corrected.
All right, it's good that we're doing well in the Pac West.
I do wish that Seattle station, though, would run all 4 hours now. Mm-hmm. I mean, KQBZ was a big FM station in Seattle. They picked up the show. We had a great ratings book. The first book, thank you, people of Seattle. Come on, run the whole freaking show.
Come on.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yes.
You know, that is the greatest potential bumper I've ever heard. They'll F you till you love them.
Yeah, no, I've already said the same thing to Rob, to jot it down the next time we have a dude come in.
Absolutely.
Do the session. F faggot. But you got to put faggot at the end of it. They'll F you till you love them.
He sounds like faggot. A little kid, doesn't he? He sounds like a little kid like in the schoolyard.
He always has, really.
Right. Hello, yeah. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Seattle.
Oh, turn the radio down. Big knob, turn it to the left.
Hey, D.A.
Hello.
Hey, dumbass. Earth to dumbass.
We'll have to wait till he hears it on the radio. Oh, there you go.
Hold on.
Bye-bye.
Died of embarrassment.
Hello.
Sucker.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, man.
Hey, man.
How y'all doing?
We're doing...
Bitches crack me up. You know that?
Come on, talk in your real voice.
Hey?
Talk in your real voice.
This is Emmett from Tulsa.
Yeah, we'll have to hang up on you if you don't talk in your real voice.
Y'all crack me up, man. You know that?
Right. Hello there. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Is it true that that tape isn't really Mike Tyson? That it's actually Rob talking to Kerry?
Oh, God.
Wow.
That's some evil stuff, Rob.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
I'll look into that.
She already loves me.
Hello.
Don, Mike.
Yeah, hi.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
Hey, I want to talk to you guys about, you know, since you guys left at afternoon drive time in D.C., man.
Saddle at 9.
Yeah, I know, and I wish they just put the show on at 8 when it starts.
Oh, that hippie in Portland is freaking out. Needs to go find himself.
Well, that guy's got it good, man. He gets the whole show.
Hey, I know. Yeah, that got to fix that over here.
No, well, you guys got to help fix. You got to call the radio station.
Okay, and you know what? Can you let Charlie out of his box or whatever? Got to hear from him.
Don't you have something to do, like fill back in your crawl space or something like that?
Yeah, I do.
Sorry, go put on your clown suit.
Don't hurry, those bodies need lime.
Bye-bye.
Hey, you're Charlie out of his cage.
JWC checking in.
He's a murderer.
I left out of my show.
Yo.
Good old JWC.
Well, yeah, this
or JWG, excuse me.
Right, JWG.
John Wayne Gacy.
Right. Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. This is my man, Mike.
Yeah. Who's this and Mike?
Both of y'all. And Buzz and Rob.
No. Yeah, I know, sir. It's my cross to bear and something I deal with each and every day. And I'll tell you something right now. I can handle it.
I mean, that man's he's a role model.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
He's a role model for Mike Tyson.
Thank you, sir. I just want you to know I feel your love and I appreciate it.
I'm feeling that then, all right?
Thank you so much.
Let me tell you something. You listen to me right now. If you two, you love me, faggot.
No!
Okay?
Hey, slow down, baby. Pump your brakes.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Pump your brakes.
Pump your brakes.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Dude, you're getting
a tell. I hate that guy.
Me too.
Hate that kid.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Really, I'd like to run
him
over.
Hey, how y'all doing? Jesus, Moses, what's going on?
What do you mean?
Hey, did y'all interview Mike Tyson yet? I just tuned in. I just got home.
No. Way ahead. Still
Scooby.
Coming. Still coming on the show. Okay, Nick, I'm sorry I had to cut you off. We have to do a break. We're going to have a gay segment when we come back.
Very good.
Paula Poundstone, shemale, was on television last night doing an interview. I've not seen it. I'm told it was a gigantic puff piece.
Yeah.
Puff piece.
Who did the interview?
Maria Shriver. What's her name? Skeletor.
No, Jesus. I mean, what the hell do they expect? The Diane Sawyer of NBC.
Skeletor. But anyway, we'll have a tape of Paula Poundstone, and we'll analyze that in a moment. And, let me just say that it's Wednesday, and we all know what that means.
Oh, absolutely. Yep.
Stay right there. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Me? That's why the bosses sent me out here. They wanted me to make sure none of the other crews robbed it. Like these two balloon heads over here. They were going to try to bang us out of 200 grand? Yeah, right, I'm sure.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Goddamn right. Long version right here. Still goes. Oh, I got time to play this, I think.
Sabrina, don't just stare at it. Eat it. It's the Don and Mike Show.
Here's the vocal. Goddamn. Love me to Chicago. Love me to Chicago.
Yeah.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Excuse me. I love the band Chicago.
There you go there, fellow.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
I'm calling from Partyville, Wisconsin. Wondered if you got any ratings information from our little town.
Partyville.
Partyville.
Partyville was, as far as I know, that's every town in Wisconsin, sir. Partyville.
Are you aware of a Partyville, Wisconsin, Don?
I am not. Are you listening on the Green Bay station, the Milwaukee station, or the Madison station?
The Madison station.
The Madison station.
Madison station, and is Partyville a real town?
It is, about 40 miles north of Madison on the Fox River.
What's the most famous thing about Partyville?
Unfortunately, it's Mark Bortz, that used to play for the Bears, went to school here.
There you go.
That's an awful claim to fame for Party Town.
Mark Bortz.
Who the hell's Mark Bortz?
But I had to call and thank you guys. You guys have been entertaining me since late summer. The pumpkin love thing was the bomb.
Do you have a like a big event in Partyville? I would think with a name like Partyville, you would have some sort of big party during the year.
You're like,
actually, we have the annual Watermelon Festival in September.
Don't forget, Mike, it is Wisconsin.
Ah, that's true.
Hey, come on, guys.
Partyville.
That we have a lot of Amish people around here.
What is what is the population of Partyville?
Oh, it's about 1,100.
1,100 people.
1,100 people, partying people.
All right, thank you, my friend.
Have a good one. Thanks,
right,
guys.
See you later.
You know, I go to Partyville High School.
We got to, we got to start making a list of all the stations that are carrying the show live now. Because I keep forgetting, like, all the stations. I think Green Bay is still tape delay, but I think Milwaukee's live. Like Madison.
How many stations
live.
Are we on now?
You got me. How many, Lisa? Is it about 50? Something like that? More or less, 55.
We're still on 50?
55. She just gave me double nickel. Mm-hmm. 55 stations.
Where? Who knows?
You don't exactly.
Because I was talking to somebody about the show. I was talking to Jeff Smullyan's niece, and you know, who's the head of MS Broadcasting,
the guy we used to work for.
And she said, you know, how many stations you on? And I said, I don't know.
Well, you know, the thing is that we get the clears like in Salt Lake City, and we only find out about it when someone calls us up to tell us that we're on.
Well, live or tape, I would love to know how many stations we are really on.
55 radio stations.
Okay.
Like so, Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, I can drive 55, or I drive on the sidewalk.
Okay. Here you go. Last night, Paula Poundstone, the she-male. He's on Dateline NBC.
He looked good.
And here's what he had to say as he was being a...
What? Did he have an explanation?
I don't know.
Was he uptight?
I heard that he appeared. Except me. The only thing he had nervous twitch, Paula Poundstone... kept scratching his balls.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, he had some kind of itch down there in his groin area.
Did he look like he'd kept himself up? Did he shave?
No, he had a two-day growth of beard.
Oh, that's a shame.
And well, anyway,
he's such a big guy.
Here he is. Here's Paula Poundstone.
From our studios in Los Angeles, here is Maria Shriver.
Her fans would call her a gifted comedian. Her friends would say she's that and more, a kind and loving mother.
Was this recorded on like a 1950s Zenith?
Mike, we did the best we could.
Where did this come from?
We did the best we could.
Her fans may have said that Paula Poundstone.
Come on.
I'm Maria Shriver.
We did the best we could.
Do you know how hard it is to find a machine that still uses dictaphone wire?
From our studios in Los Angeles, here is Maria Shriver.
I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Sounds good to you, doesn't it?
Sounds great.
Her a gifted comedian. Her friends would say she's that and more, a kind and loving mother.
Hey, anybody listening to us on AM can't tell the difference.
That one day, Paula Poundstone would also be called a child molester.
Yeah.
Dateline exclusive, for the first time since her arrest, the comedian talks about the accusations and her fight to clear her name. It's amazing.
First, let me just say, you want to clear your name, honey? Put a dress on.
Yeah.
Okay? Stop wearing neckties.
Yeah, stop wearing like the 50s zoots, the 40s zoot suits.
Yeah, right.
Hepcat.
Get yourself a nice pair of high-heeled shoes.
And do something with that hair.
Grow it.
Yeah.
God.
And introduce yourself to a woman named Mary Kay. Yeah. I mean, paint yourself up. Make yourself look presentable, for God's sakes.
God damn it, honey.
Walk around. You know, it may mean that I go out in public, knowing that part of the population, you know, probably never got the word that I'm not a child molester.
Part of the problem is that the public didn't know I'm not a molester.
A child molester.
Mrs. Paul's fish sticks.
It may mean that I get up and walk around. You know, it may mean that I go out in public, knowing that part of the population, you know, probably never got the word that I'm not a child molester. You know, I feel awful. If there was a way I could, you know, rewind, I would.
Much as Paula Poundstone would like to roll life back a year, she knows her only option is to go forward. The 42-year-old comedian fought her way up the ladder of a tough business, then saw her career and reputation...
Because until this happened, she was super successful.
Oh, absolutely.
Hot, baby.
He was.
Let me just say, four words describe Paula Poundstone. To tell the truth. She was a panelist.
That's right.
Was.
Like the regular panelist, the anchor panelist, right?
On the new To Tell the Truth that had the guy, who's that guy?
Buddy.
We had him on the show a million times.
John O'Hurley.
Yeah, the guy who was...
The good golfer, John O'Hurley.
Biederman.
Is it John O'Hurley or O'Hurley?
Jay Biederman.
O'Hurley.
The guy who was Elaine's boss on Seinfeld.
That's right, Elaine. Paula Poundstone, molester.
Crashed down with charges that she abused her children. She knows the road ahead will be rough.
You've got a lot to handle in this next year. Yeah, I do. I'm thinking a lot about what's before us because we are in a precarious position right now.
She's got this.
What?
Is she doing Queen's third person, or is she talking about her kids, too?
I think her and her kids.
Drunk driving and with child sexual abuse. She was stunned when authorities took her three adopted and two foster children away.
I think, you know, Jesus, there's, you know, there's kids in the orphanages, in, you know, the Balkans that the state of California believes are better off there than with me.
It's not a very good feeling.
Buy some pantyhose, honey.
Nor is the sensation of being under constant and intense scrutiny, and not the friendly variety she's been used to in the past.
Hey, Maria, how about some questions about the allegations?
God damn it, honey.
Another softball crap interview.
God damn it, honey. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, guys, what's the deal with this fluff piece, man?
I don't know. It's ridiculous. It's getting the, it's making the arrangements to get the interview by making prearranged deals.
She should have just gone on Larry King.
Interview. I mean, they couldn't even talk about what it was that she supposedly did.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't there an allegation of sexual abuse?
Correct. Yes.
Correct.
Yes.
Right. Originally. Right. What do you mean? So they dropped
it
that?
It was dropped, yeah, okay. Shortly after.
But there was an allegation. Yeah. There was the allegation of bad touch, though.
Yes, in the beginning there was.
Bad touch.
Yeah, right.
Well, we can't ask her about that, even though she wants to clear her name.
Jesus Christ.
So now we're going to hear, the whole piece on how put upon she is?
Right.
Is that what it is?
I guess so.
Even though she's the one that was doing something wrong, that's why she got in trouble?
She was never a major talent. She's never a major star.
No.
There was only one awkward moment during the interview last night is that Maria Shriver's cheekbones kept hitting her in the Adam's apple.
Oh, ouch. Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi.
Hey, I just calling to let y'all know, about 2 months ago, they started carrying y'all in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Well, make it 56 stations,
Rush
Mike.
Limbaugh.
Well, it's great to be on in Lake Charles.
So would you say we replaced Rush Limbaugh?
Yes, sir.
What's the radio station?
It's Real Radio 97.9.
All right.
Well, good. Lake Charles, Louisiana, down in FM 97.9 share.
Here you go. Now let's see how the network is working. Hey, Lisa, did you have any idea? Hey, Dill, did you have any idea that we're on 97.9 in Lake Charles, Louisiana? She knew.
She didn't
tell me.
Well, they'll love it down there. I guarantee.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I love it. I listen to it every day.
I just found out maybe yesterday. I
love Louisiana.
How long you say we've been on? 2 months?
About 2 months, yes, sir.
Okay, thank you, my friend.
This show does well in Louisiana.
Hello, Market 62.
Okay. Back to Paula Poundstone. Well, I'm not done with this yet.
Is asking little kids what they want to be when they grow up, because you're looking for ideas.
For over 20 years, Poundstone has been one of the few women in comic stand-up to stand out enough to get her own HBO specials.
Please.
She was the one with the tie and the one who toyed with an audience.
What are you studying? Women's studies. So are you getting credit right now?
She was smart, neurotic, quirky, and above all else, original.
Oh, please.
But short, now I can't really get it to do what I want it to. I want it to type.
She's a man, baby. How can you not? How can you avoid this when you're interviewing this and you're setting up the bio on her?
You know, for all the people that followed this story that may have been curious about the allegations, because this was kept so hush-hush for forever, I am really mad that this is what we're getting at the end of the line here, which is a puff piece,
yeah,
a promotional piece for Paula Poundstone. This is not journalism.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, guys.
Hey.
I was wondering if the situation was exactly the same and it was a male hack comic like, let's say, Carrot Top, would he have gotten the benefit of the doubt?
No.
No way.
Are you kidding me? You would be saying... Listen, look what happened to Pee Wee Herman. And all Pee Wee Herman was doing was getting his rocks off in an adult theater.
Right. Sure.
And look at that guy. His life was ruined.
It was.
Well, didn't he have something happen to him recently, too?
Yes.
And would a male comic be allowed to joke about it and have it aired on national television?
No.
No.
No, you're right. No, that's a beautiful... Thank you, my friend. That's a beautiful that's a beautiful demonstration of the double standard. Mm-hmm. And, Mike, those are alleged charges against
Pee Wee. Yes, right. The kiddie porn charges.
That's not the kiddie porn in his house. Nothing's been proven yet.
That's right.
She was a workhorse, a regular for years on the strip mall comedy club circuit from Boston to Boise and...
The strip mall comedy club circuit.
Yeah.
Who wants on their resume?
She's a workhorse, Don.
Okay, Paula, here's where we have you at. There's a Subway, there's an Ace Hardware, there's a grocery store, and then there's a comedy club.
There's a Laugh Factory.
And beyond. You really grounded out trying to get to the top of the comedy world.
And I got to the middle successfully.
You did not.
Which is plenty. I was the right age for going around the country doing open mic nights and doing, opening
for a headliner for a week at, you know, very little money.
Did you touch the children?
And, you know, on couches and on Greyhound buses, and I was...
Why do you dress like a man?
Totable.
Hey, Jay!
And Jay Leno thought she was funny. He sent her to cover the 1992 National...
There you go. That's a stamp of approval.
What a big break.
BQ92, encouraging, I don't know what, barbecue here in Texas?
She was the first woman to win a Cable Ace Award for her HBO special. She had a TV show briefly.
Well, this is a bio. This is a bio.
Mostly positive.
Listen, Larry
what the hell is this?
Larry King wins a Cable Ace Award, so tell you the validity of the Cable Ace Award.
I don't understand this. I mean, what, you know, anybody tuning into this has got to feel ripped off. Did you feel ripped off when
Absolutely.
You were watching this?
I can't believe I invested my 15
minutes. It's astonishing how, you know what, how the certain journalists, Maria Shriver's, Diane Sawyer's,
right.
get away with hyping this big, you know, tell-all interview,
Listen, Maria,
and then you get this crap.
Maria Shriver's not a journalist. She's Arnold's FB. You know it, I know it. And they don't even give away Cable Ace Awards anymore.
It's amazing.
So you're talking about winning an award that's gone out of existence.
Right.
Theaters, and by the mid-1990s was earning over $1 million a year and getting the big gigs like the Emmys and presidential galas.
There was a camera. But there it is. There is a camera right down there. Now this is the saddest job of the night, is it not?
Her laid-back act paid off. Yeah. Bigger venues, glitzier crowds.
Right.
Not bad for a small-town Massachusetts girl who says she always felt different.
Yeah. There we go.
I was probably alone more than I should have been. Did you feel out of step with other kids? Did you feel like...
Yes, although I had no idea how much instep that made me.
When did you discover your penis?
Suffers from the depression and obsessive compulsive behavior that made her a challenge to her middle-class, middle-aged parents.
On the first day of school, when all the other kids were wearing school clothes and Paula showed up in a tuxedo.
...ever ties to most of her family.
I would rather spend my time with people who bring out the best in me.
And since she felt
Children.
Family didn't, Poundstone...
Children, I can touch.
Something...
After I've been drinking.
8 years ago...
Wearing men's clothing.
In the foster care system.
Playing in strip malls.
I became a foster parent. Some of the thought processes that I recall and I'm aware of is really wanting to do something of value, something that sort of added to the world.
A single mother, she took in one baby, then another, and another. 8 of them over the years. She fell in love with each of them and ended up adopting 3, each of a different race, each with a different challenge.
What'd she do with the other 5? Send them back?
I don't know. Maybe I guess she was a foster parent for the other 5.
Yeah, they were still okay, I got you. Okay. As I say, like, she's getting them, she's going, this one okay.
I like you, I like you, I like you. You don't like my suit.
you go back to the orphanage.
Get out of here.
One with cerebral palsy.
This is a playroom. This is totally kid-friendly and kid... I mean, kid.
I pride myself in...
This is, and hear that quality journalism. This is totally kid-friendly. I mean, kid.
Traveling for steadier gigs that kept her in town with her children.
And while they are showing...
she's the Kennedy that married Arnold.
While they are showing the pictures of the kids' faces are pixelated out.
Right.
So at least the kids got that much dignity.
Including one with cerebral palsy.
This is a playroom. This is totally kid-friendly.
She got a kid with CP?
Yeah, I guess she adopted a kid with CP.
Hey, Mom!
Right.
Why don't you wear a dress?
Yeah, even the kids say that one question.
Ma! Ain't Daddy!
Oh, no.
Where Daddy at?
Play and kid... I mean, kid.
Yeah, I pride myself in toy acquisition.
She bought this house with lots of space for kids and cut down on her traveling for steadier gigs that kept her in town with her children.
Would you like to hear another story?
Before long, she was doing a lot of kids' TV and became the poster mom for foster parenting and other children's issues. Her friends say the commitment is no act.
Yeah.
I think she's a great mother.
Who's saying this, Rosie O'Donnell?
I think this is Kathy Najimy.
Loving, we call her.
You mean the lady that's Peggy Hill's voice?
Yeah, Mo.
A big fat girl?
And does with foster children. It's just unimaginable.
Serious allegations tonight against comedian Paula Poundstone.
It's a long fall from sainthood to sinner. But that's what it looked like when news broke last June that Poundstone...
Who said she was a saint?
for endangering
four children. Najimi did. I think we talked over it, but they call her like St. Poundstone or something.
Wow. On a child.
Pound sand.
With the intent of arousing, appealing to, and gratifying
arousing,
the
there's a key word.
Passions and sexual desires of the said defendant and the said child. Gina Satriano is the Los Angeles Deputy District Attorney handling the case. That's tough language in there.
When we file a case, we evaluate the evidence based on the ability to look at the evidence and determine that we believe that beyond a reasonable doubt, the charges can be
proven. Is that the DA?
Yeah.
I
mean,
hold on. Hear
the charges
this
that made the headlines initially. No one is saying who made them because the case is sealed to protect the children.
Of course.
And there is a gag order in effect. But it's believed they involve a 12-year-old girl, a foster child who lived with Poundstone for just under a year. Stephen Crone is Poundstone's attorney.
She drove four children while she was intoxicated. That wasn't right. She admitted from the beginning.
Gee, that's
thanks.
The only thing she admitted to.
Yes, she has from the beginning denied lewd conduct charges. We said all along that she wasn't guilty of that.
As soon as the allegations were made, the state removed Poundstone's three adopted children and the two other children she was fostering at the time. She put her career on hold immediately and checked herself
into an
alcohol treatment center.
The first 2 weeks of being in rehab, I have almost no memory of. And I think just the pressure and the trauma was so great that I couldn't remember what I said or did, you know.
The defense tried to show that whatever had transpired between the 12-year-old and Paula Poundstone, it was never intended to be a sexual act. That was critical because in California, intent must be proven in order to prosecute anyone for sexual abuse.
I told Mom, I can't poop. I can't. Dad, Mom, wherever you are, I can't poop.
Okay, let me see what's happening up there.
So we don't know what the deal is.
No.
Because it's sealed, and she's not going to deal with it, what the allegations were.
It's a mystery.
And then the lawyer's giving you lawyer speak, saying, you know what, they seem to be going right to the fact that she drove the kids while she was under the influence.
And you know what, they're skirting past that, like, and keep in mind, she's driving around drunk with four little kids in her car.
Right.
Yes,
right.
We admit that she did. Like, that's okay.
Yeah, but I mean, what they're doing is the lesser of two evils. So something, there's something that was alleged that we're not going to hear about.
That's right.
Well, amazing. Again, it's sealed.
Yeah,
you know
sealed.
Less about her after watching the piece than you did before.
That's amazing.
Jesus. Play and kid. I mean, kid.
Yeah, I pride myself in toy acquisition.
I went backwards. Well, you've heard enough anyway. There was nothing to hear on that.
Enough.
Goddamn show. Paula Poundstone.
You know, I just wish occasionally that they would do a little digging. Mm-hmm. You know, try to find out what it was, but no, they never do that.
You sit down with Paula Poundstone. Seriously, the first question you say is not got nothing to do with her sexuality or anything. Just say, really, why do you wear suits?
Why do you wear man suits?
You know, and
I mean, what is the? It can't be a comfort factor.
If the answer is that it's my hook to get into showbiz, or it's something that makes me stand out, well, okay.
Well, how
can you not? You got her sitting there, and she's up on charges of driving around drunk with kids in her car and molesting kids.
And then when they get to the crux of the matter, I mean, the real you hear from her lawyer. And a very brief snippet from a DA. And what the DA says is normally when we make allegations like this, we don't do so lightly.
Right.
We do so because we think we can prove the charges.
We have evidence. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
And it was a plea bargain to obviously drop those charges.
So it would appear.
Jesus.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, is this me?
Yeah, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, hey. I seen this thing last night. They said it happened three different times, you know, allegedly to this 12-year-old or whatever. What do you think it is that, Paula Poundstone tried to slip a tampon into this chick, you know, two or three times there? She said it's more embarrassing than anything else.
Who knows what it is? I mean, I was alleging that it could have been, you know, Paula Poundstone going around the kid's Duke. I mean, that's the thing, because it's not out there. That's what I...
What?
When I said, Mommy,
They right. can't do poo.
Oh, you mean
that,
just going around the Duke or something?
That she would, you know.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Do the old.
Well, where did this guy get the tampon issue from? Was that a rumor?
From his wild fantasy life.
No, that's what he was saying. He was just speculating as I had.
But you'll never know because it's sealed, right. And they made a plea bargain, so we will never know what the truth is. And I think if Paula Poundstone wants to remove the stigma of this, but I guess she can't because if she reveals it,
right.
It would probably be a lot worse.
But she was guilty of driving drunk in a suit.
Hello. Mike. So, hello.
Taking the kids for ice cream.
Hello.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, gun to your head. Who would you sleep with? Paula Poundstone, Roseanne, or Joan Rivers?
Oh, who would you do? We haven't played that game for a long time. For me, that's a no-brainer. I'd do Roseanne.
I'd do Poundstone.
I'd do Poundstone.
I think. What about Joan?
Joan.
Rob would do Joan.
Oh, of course. That is so gross. Joan, you get her out of that dress. Where do you think all the skin is collected?
That's what I'd like to say.
All the back skin. Like, you're probably down, like, right by her belt line, there's this big hump.
Well, down by her belt line, there's, like, an autograph where the plastic surgeon signs his work.
I would do something with tear.
I'd do Roseanne before either of those broads. But
you know, I do agree. I was watching a true Hollywood story about Roseanne, and in her day, Roseanne was not an ugly woman.
Don't you remember when we read that book on the air, the book that said she was crazy, when they had the pictures of her when she was about 17, and
she was a good-looking woman.
Just a POA. But if it was Paula Poundstone or Joan Rivers, you know, I'm afraid I have to do Joan Rivers first.
Wow. Really?
Wow. I'm afraid I'd have to.
No, I bet if you get her out of her man suit.
I'll see you in the boudoir.
She doesn't have any teeth.
I would have her until she loved me.
And then, faggot.
That's what I would say to him, her, it. Paula.
Well, it's on a Mike show.
Wow. On a Mike.
Yeah.
Yo, what's up?
Hey, my friend.
Yo, there is nothing worse than listening to a female comedian, man. I'm sorry, man. That's just torture listening to her talk.
There are some funny female comedians.
Like Rita Rudner.
Okay.
Harold Leifer.
Charles Barkley calling.
Elaine Boozler.
What's this about Roseanne being hot, man? You guys are off your wagon.
I'm not saying Roseanne's hot. The question was, who would you do? Roseanne, Joan Rivers, or Paula Poundstone?
Brett Butler.
I'll definitely do Roseanne. You'll just sprinkle some water on and find some flour, hit the wet spot.
And back in the day, if you buy Roseanne's book, her book that says I'm crazy and
all
I grew up in a trailer in Utah, there is a picture of Roseanne when she was about 17.
She was hot.
I'm telling you, you would eat dinner off her ass.
Yeah, I'm sure about that.
Go get the book. I'm not lying.
Look at the picture.
I have a question for Buzz.
What?
I just moved to the D.C. area. You know anywhere I could get some good weed around
here?
There
you go. I wish I did, but I can't help you.
I knew that was coming.
Don and Mike show.
Tony Fields.
Hello.
I don't understand what he was talking about.
Don and Mike show.
Phyllis Diller.
Oh, yes.
Hello.
Hello, this is Paula.
Oh, pardon me? Oh, Paula. Hey, Paula.
Hello, I just wanted to let you guys know my real talent.
What's that?
Disguising my voice as a woman.
All right, nice. Thank you, Paula. All right, let's go right here. Oh, we got a break. Don and Mike show. Hello.
How you doing, guys?
Okay.
If Maria Shriver has Paula Poundstone in such high regard, why doesn't she let her babysit her steroid-ridden children?
That's outstanding.
Very good.
That is good.
I dig.
Pat, how long do you think it'll be before you're... getting smothered with a pillow by a big Indian.
Get out of here.
What was that? I don't get it.
From One Flew Over the Cuckoo's.
Oh, that's it.
Long for you getting smothered by a big Indian.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Little obscure reference to that fabulous
film.
Good
one, though. There you good go. One. Got a break. We'll be right back.
Okay.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Listen, my friend, I am a supporter of the gay community. I wore a red ribbon to the Emmys. I have been to several Elton John concerts.
What does that mean?
Elton John is a gay.
Don and Mike are excited. They're doing their radio program. It's called The Don and Mike Show.
Damn straight. Going back to the instant feedback, and I get this from a guy named Chris Coffey in Lake Charles, Louisiana. Dear Don and Mike, hi. I'm the general manager of Real Radio 97.9 in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Hey, how are you?
You guys have been on my station for a little less than 2 months, and you are now the show here. You replaced one of your heroes, Rush Limbaugh. I thought you might appreciate that.
Well, it's great to be on in Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Real Radio 97.9 FM. Okay, you know, looking at the clock now, I don't know what's happened to the show today. We were going to debut this Who Do You Know game, but I guess we can we do that tomorrow, or we got match game tomorrow. Either way, we got $500 to give away, and we'll do it either today or tomorrow. When we do give away the money, it includes a two-night getaway to the Wintergreen Resort, that and $500, courtesy of Contact. Contact wants you to feel comfortable. Don't let a cold get you down. Be prepared by Contact. Use as directive, because I know we got the Mike Tyson thing. From yesterday we've got the great Michael Jordan thing. I'd love to get to that today and do the counseling with Michael. And
we got a lot to do. We got a lot on the plate.
Yeah. But Mike, it's Wednesday, and I ask you first to get out your copy of USA Today.
Sitting here in front of me.
Because Thursday is too late. Wednesday's the day.
We have to do this on Wednesday.
Wednesday's Craig Wilson Day.
Mm-hmm.
From USA Today, it's time for The Final Word by Craig Wilson, a column that we read right out of the newspaper. We don't embellish at all.
Do we have our Craig Wilson music?
And now, The Final Word by Craig Wilson. I once had a friend who drove me nuts with her constant twirling of the car radio dial. Nothing more than feeling. Would you just settle on a station and leave it there, I'd ask? She would not, of course, or could not. So we continued down the road, locked in arm-to-arm combat. We did this all the way from New York to Florida once. She frantically was searching for any station that was playing Three Dog Night's Joy to the World. Me trying to slap her hand away as she repeatedly reached for the dial. Luckily for me, it was when most every station in America was celebrating the fact that Jeremiah was a bullfrog. So the search was usually short-lived. But as soon as the song ended, she began twirling the dial again in her never-ending quest for that now classic from 71. My dial-twirling friend has since died. Wonder what happened there.
Here.
My dial-twisting friend has since died. But I thought of her the other day. And I sat on the San Diego freeway in Los Angeles, realizing the only thing I had in my control was the ability to change stations. I certainly wasn't able to change lanes, directions, or my mind at that point. Directions or my mind at that point. I was going nowhere fast. And only one can on an L.A. freeway. Before I knew it, I could hear my late friend urging me on. I began twirling the dial faster and faster. Did you know there's a supplement out there that will feed a child's brain? No, neither did I. It's a pill that goes directly to your kid's brain so he'll grow up smart and strong to get accepted to Harvard and be useful during bridge club conversations when your friend's kids aren't doing so well.
I can't remember its name, but there was an 800 number you could call to order an obligation-free one-month supply.
What the hell's he talking about?
I could hear the phones ringing from the freeway.
I believe he's talking about like one of the dumb commercials you hear on our show. One of the filler commercials. But remember, he's doing this in honor of his dead friend. Yeah. And so it went. An evangelist citing scripture. A car dealership in the valley hawking no interest specials. And feelings like a traffic reporter announcing backups between Wilshire and LAX. Certainly no news flash to me.
And then I did what I always do when I'm alone in a rental car. I sang. I sang with Neil Diamond. I sang with Dolly Parton. I sang with Clint Black and Willie Nelson.
On the road again. I just can't wait to get on the road again.
I even sang along with a Latino station for a while. Not deterred by the fact that my Spanish is limited to the menu listings at Taco Bell. Didn't matter. I was entertaining only myself. And maybe my dial-twirling friend who also believed the car was the thing as loud as you want sound.
Yeah, hold on. This is the first time we've ever not been able to get the whole column in during one song.
Wow.
Hold on, I got to restart it.
Oh, I think that's happened before, Don.
Has it really?
Yes, it has.
Hold on.
Give me a second. Means we have to start it again, that wonderfully tender intro.
And now, back to the final word.
Hey, Craig Wilson.
Nothing more than feet. The woman in the car in front of me thought so too. She was literally bouncing at her feet as she performed her solo thing along. I know because I watched the back of her head go up and down for 45 minutes. Maybe it was something else, Craig.
An hour later, when I finally pulled into the Avis return lot, where the greeting is always the same, do not back up. Severe tire damage. The woman who checked me in with her trusty handheld computer seemed happy that I made it back.
Traffic's terrible tonight, she said.
Oh, it didn't seem so bad, I replied. Past time with an old friend who's dead.
And the headline on this column is Back Up the Head. Order now. Joy to the world.
Jeremiah was a bullfrog.
The Final Word by Craig Wilson.
Thanks for another great column, Gregory. We'll look forward to reading it again next week. Same time, same station.
Jesus. I hope this isn't why Rudy got canned for being on our show.
Might be.
I really hope it's not, but
we have speculated about that. That might be the reason.
Because Rudy had been on the show for 10 years, working at USA Today, and we only started reading this like in the last 2 months, and all of a sudden, boom, they say, hey, Rudy, you can't be on the show anymore.
The Final Word by Craig Wilson.
How are we supposed to pass on this?
You can't.
And I did what I always do when I've been on the rental car. I sang with Neil Diamond. I sang with Dolly Parton. I sang with Clint Black and Willie Nelson.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again.
My dial twirling friend has since died. But I thought of her the other day as I sat on the San Diego freeway in Los Angeles. Before I knew it, I could hear my late friend urging me on. Christ, he's sick. I began twirling the dial faster and faster.
Twirling, twirling.
Mr. Charlie.
Now stop.
Right, well, there's today's edition of The Final Word with Craig Wilson.
Yeah. Always an adventure. You never know where Craig's going next.
Don't forget, listen, you can play the game at home. All you got to do is get yourself a copy of Feelings.
Right.
By Morris Albert. It's on a lot of oldies compilation CDs.
Absolutely.
And get the USA Today on Wednesday. You play the home version.
Yeah, it'd be fantastic. Enjoy it at home with your friends.
You can read right along with us. The Final Word by Craig Wilson. And I believe, here's another way we've influenced this column. Since we've started reading them on the air, not once has he mentioned his partner, Jack.
That's true.
I don't think any time, right, since we've been reading them on the air, he's not mentioned his partner, Jack.
But he still talks about his dog, Murphy.
Yes, his dog, Murphy.
I used to have a dog called Murphy. That'd be a good booking for this show. I'd like to have Murphy on the show.
Join the Don and Mike Gutter Balls tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, we're bowling against Howard South grandchildren.
Can you believe that?
There you go. Join the Gutter Balls tonight as we battle the family Cosell.
Go Balls!
We'll be in Manhattan tonight at Leisure Time. This is on the second floor of the Port Authority.
Is that senior citizens that are going to be there?
No.
It's
a whole big thing. They got a driving range there, and they've got like
Leisure Time.
Ski ball and stuff like that.
Very exciting.
So we'll see everybody tonight. We're bowling against the family Cosell, Howard Cosell's grandchildren.
We will look forward to the battle royale.
Well, there you go. Read the last part like Howard Cosell.
Ladies and gentlemen, don't miss the remarkably raucous and ribald repartee and arguably antagonistic athletic activities of these two teams. That's right, Gutter Balls versus the family Cosell.
And What is this? Craig Wilson, again, feedback. Craig Wilson contest. How about having a contest where people send in tapes of them reading the column?
Or writing their own Craig Wilson
column. Like that.
Well, that's going to get, that's like Hello Lawsuit City. Just let me say, we've been down that road before.
Right.
You might as well just book us some time at Steve Lerman's office. if we do a contest where you write your own Craig Wilson column.
Down that highway.
I don't think there'd be anything wrong with you find folks getting the list and, getting the thing out of the paper, getting your music and, Make your own take.
Make your own fun.
The home version.
Send it in, yeah. Just read the
make
real
your
column.
Own fudge.
Read the real true. Column. Like
go ahead,
did.
Enter.
Hello, Don Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from Reno. My name's Tess. I'm a huge fan of yours.
Hi, Tess.
Anyways, I realize I'm about a day late with this story, but when I was going to college in Sacramento, I worked at a restaurant, and this restaurant had named a sandwich after Rush Limbaugh. This is like 15 years ago. And it was called Rush Limbaugh's French Dip. And the deal was, they named the sandwich after him, and he got to come in and eat the sandwich for free anytime he wanted.
This is absolutely delicious. The shaved roast beef goes so nicely with the lovely provolone cheese on the French bread dipped in au jus. My God, this is fantastic.
All the fries he can eat. Did the restaurant go out of business because Rush came in every day for his free meal?
He would come in and eat like two or three of them.
Is it true that the sandwich also came with a free tube of Preparation H?
Come on, thank you, honey.
Okay.
I think I grossed her out.
Yeah. See you later.
No mayonnaise, please. Just Preparation H.
You made her blanch.
Some analese.
There we go. Oh, that feels better.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, another thing that you have forgotten about today is that the list of the women that have just been kicked from day to day all week.
Yeah, you know, I'm sorry. I really am sorry.
It's all right.
Yeah,
I think you would say that from the heart.
I've done the baby stepping. I've got the old list.
You're doing the work.
From 3 years ago, and I've got the new potential list. But if we really start to rate women, it's something we can't just start and drop. I mean, it's a couple of day-long process, but... No, if it means that much to you, maybe tomorrow.
Maybe tomorrow.
We'll do our best. Hang in there. You know, I like to think that in some ways that's the charm of the show. Eventually, we'll get around to it.
We'll get to it by St. Patrick's Day.
We'll get around to it. But, you know, if we got other stuff happening like Paula Poundstone and Craig Wilson and Lisa's Pink Dill.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to stick with
first,
it.
Yeah.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yeah, why don't you start reading Rudy's column like you read Craig Wilson's column?
Because we like Rudy. Because Rudy doesn't have a partner named Jack.
Try it once.
A partner named Mouse.
Bye-bye. See you later. Oh, and you know what else we forgot to do is to plug the Las Vegas-style show contest.
Oh, yeah.
We're coming to somebody's house. Are the entries being faxed up here?
Not only did ESPN pay $300 million more per season than NBC offered, but an ESPN's $2.4 billion deal for games on... Yeah,
it's not going to work.
It doesn't work. No. You read Rudy's column?
Yeah, it didn't work at all.
Pat Summerall's last game will be the Super Bowl.
What about the entries for the Las Vegas-style show contest?
I'm faxing them to home, but I've got the whole folder with us here, so
great.
You can read some if you want.
Okay, that's another thing I got to get to. Listen, we are giving away a Las Vegas-style show in your home next Monday. We're going to announce the winner, and the party's a week from Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Super Bowl Saturday. We all come to your house, your basement, your rumpus room, whatever you got. I mean, we're there, and we do a Las Vegas style show. All you gotta do is supply the people, preferably more girls than guys.
Yes. Girls!
And girls who like to party, girls who like to get naked and play naked games, because we're going to be giving away cash. No, Mike, not that game.
No, that's
not
bad.
That game. That's a bad game.
We don't want that to happen.
No one wins at that game.
Someone does win at that game, Ron. And, since Lisa's going to be there, Lisa wants me to mention that she likes some guys to show up.
But very good.
Whatever. There's never a problem getting guys to drop trout at one of our appearances.
Never.
So listen, if you'd like used to come to your house. It would be a great party, the pre-Super Bowl party.
Party, Johnny.
We show up. We bring the DJ. We bring the sound effects. We bring everybody involved with the show. We do a real Las Vegas-style show.
We do indeed.
With all of our reindeer games. And I'm talking about the...
it should be big fun.
I'm talking about the nude feud. I'm talking about the underwear fashion show. I'm talking about bringing back the Monica Lewinsky Cigar Challenge.
Wow.
And since it's in your home, no problems with like PTA groups and local county ordinances. All nude. All nude. And
all nude, all for you.
You want to get hammered? We will give you $500 for party supplies.
We'll bring you a bucket.
Spend it any way you like. And
bring it, Charlie.
We'll stop it, guys. We'll bring in cash to give away too. Like first prize in the underwear fashion show be $500. First prize in the nude feud be $500.
Lots of money for you, Charlie.
The Dennis Murphy challenge, the Homo Joe challenge.
All of our mutants are going to be there. Dennis Murphy, Tom Gavin, Cheryl the Big Dyke, Homo Joe.
So what you want to do is write us a letter and tell us why the Las Vegas style show belongs in your home.
Write it, Charlie.
Fax it to us. Stop it now. Fax it to us at 800-636.
Tell us why this show would be good in your place.
6410.
Tell us what kind of nasty fun we can have in your living room.
All right, be
come on, Charlie.
Be on the fax.
What's your date of birth?
We are announcing. Shut up. We are announcing the winner on Monday, and we'll be at somebody's home next Saturday night.
Look forward to coming out to see you, Charlie.
Stop it. You realize you're doing a show right
Grandpa
now.
Grandpa Joe's coming.
You're doing a show for two people.
Grandpa Joe from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory is coming to your house, Charlie. And he's a dirty old man. He's a real dirty old man.
Let's segue into this, Mike.
Very good.
Yes, please. Please.
That's right. You missed the real Grandpa Joe show at breakfast this morning.
No, I was there for up, down, faster, slower, stop. Yeah, no, I got it all before I went outside to have a cigar.
If I could just briefly say before you make your segue, just so the listeners can be part of the fun here, we were doing a brief sketch at breakfast this morning about Willy Wonka and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and Charlie pleasuring his Grandpa Joe manually. Okay, so that's what it was.
Yeah. Charlie Stewang Stabilak.
No, Charlie from Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
All right, I see. You lost me there.
That's what it was. You know, and Charlie's Grandpa Joe is the one that goes to the factory with him, and they drink the fizzy stuff. And we were talking about
Charlie, the kid that wins the contest.
Yes,
to go
he's
to
the one
factory.
That wins the gold ticket.
Charlie Bucket.
So what you're Charlie Bucket?
What you're discussing is what you were discussing
Bucket.
You were discussing at breakfast.
Well, it was the fact that Charlie was pleasuring Grandpa Joe. It was disgusting.
Manually.
Yeah, it was. Manually.
Manually.
Faster, Charlie. Faster. Shake it, Charlie. Tickle him, Charlie.
Faster. Not at all.
Now stop.
You.
That's what it was. So you would have enjoyed it more as you are now.
No, I'm just getting into the double standard world that you live in.
Yes, yes.
And occasionally, if I go down that road in any regard, you always say, hey.
Well, we're talking about totally fictitious characters here.
Enough.
Total fiction.
It's okay for you to
fictitious characters.
Spend an hour at breakfast.
I understand.
At breakfast, going into great detail.
Come on, Charlie.
About a young boy manually relieving his grandfather.
I don't understand myself either.
Up-down. I mean, this is what I'm getting at.
Stop. Well, he was the one that got into the up-down really going. You know, I always blame Rob. Come on, Charlie.
No.
Faster, Charlie.
No.
Now stop.
You were the ringleader.
Rob's the one that said, now stop. He got the biggest laugh with that.
You were the ringleader on that.
Okay, Charlie.
You really were.
There you go. Well, as long as it's a fictitious character, I can handle it.
A character named
Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
And then, of course, there's a...
Drink it, Charlie. We're not going to get caught. Fizzy bubbles, Jack Albertson.
You can fly, Charlie.
Fly, look at me. Wee, I'm flying, Charlie.
The fans, Charlie. Watch out for the fans.
Do you like the white chocolate? Here it comes.
Oh. Oompa Loompas, Charlie.
Custard, Charlie.
They're thick with Oompa Loompas, Charlie. Charlie in the Chocolate Factory. Hey, that Wonka. That Wonka. I'll F him until he loves me, faggot.
And Augustus Gloop, Charlie.
Island Bick.
Not in my show.
Hi, guys. Love this show. I don't know if you noticed it, but in the movie, when they're licking the wallpaper, the edible wallpaper, Charlie goes, Grandpa, this banana's delicious.
Oh,
and his head is right by the way.
Everybody's joining in. Now I feel guilty.
Don't feel guilty.
Now I'm racked with guilt, Charlie.
Remember when he goes under the bed to get his slippers, you see where his head is, too? Oh, that movie's perverted.
Wow, see?
That's why it's my favorite movie of all time.
Oh, it's a great movie, Charlie.
Thank you.
Paula Poundstone likes him.
Yeah, time to watch Paula Poundstone's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
Well, can someone rent the movie tonight and we can get it on tape, go to Blockbuster tonight and bring it in tomorrow. We can get the scene where he says he's looking at the wallpaper and he says, Grandpa, this tastes like banana.
Tastes like banana. Of course it does, Charlie.
Salty.
Charlie.
He's like salty bananas, Grandpa.
Feel sorry for Wonka. Cost him a fortune in fudge.
Hello. Don and Mike show. Hello there.
His name's O'Mara, Mike O'Mara. Well, he got real mad and it made him sad. So his doctor got out his prescription pad and gave him Paxil. Oh, Paxil.
Well, he tried to make it with.
It's this guy, Mike.
He couldn't kill off and it ruined his life. Damn Paxil. Now he's weaning himself off of those pills. Selexia's gonna give him douche chills. Selexia, oh, Selexia.
He's driving his car down the sidewalk, check. Pro-life humps, better watch your back. He's O'Mara,
Mike O'Mara.
Okay.
That's your guy, Mike.
There he goes.
That was lovely. He's been a long time since he's been on the show.
Certainly has.
Your singing guy.
My God.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
And that bears the question, where's my singing guy?
I know, where is he?
My guy is, he's dead.
I haven't heard from him.
No. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don and Mike, it's me?
Yeah, you're on the air, hi.
Hey, guys, how's it going? Hey, listen, I heard you talk about the thing with OJ and his missing girlfriend.
Yeah, Buzz was talking about that before the show.
We will have that. We're saving that for the news show with Buzz.
Okay.
We don't want to, you know, a lot of times, poor Buzz, he prepares the news, and we end up doing, like, all the news during the show.
Right. I'm over here tearing up stories.
So the OJ stuff, we're letting Buzz have that. So
God
bless
you, gentlemen.
So we can have a big...
I look forward to calling back tomorrow to talk about it, because there's some interesting details I've been hearing.
Yeah, well, no, listen, OJ's girlfriend is missing.
And Buzz is getting details, like, every 15 minutes about this.
Details on the cat, too.
Yes.
That may have been...
There he is, Buzz.
I'll have that. I know it's your favorite part.
Okay,
sir.
Come on. Don't get into it.
It'll
save
be there.
It for Buzz. Just let me say right now, all over South Florida, the police are on head patrol.
This is weird.
Right now, all over South Florida, you have the Miami police, you got the Dade County police, South Beach. They're all looking for a woman's head on the side of a road.
Very strange.
Because OJ's at it again.
Wow.
Listen, now we got a break. When we come back... Exposed.
Uh-oh.
Michael Jordan's secret sex life.
Uh-oh.
The orgies. The one-night stands. And the video he never wants you to see. And then I believe some counseling.
Ah, very good.
With Michael and Juanita.
Wonderful.
That would be next on the agenda. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Thing kind of turned me on. Does that make me some kind of fag? Oh, maybe your money. I don't think she liked me anyway.
Oh, Mike, I'm telling you, man. She thought you were money.
I don't think so.
I heard a girl talk.
Both those girls thought you were money.
I just don't think she liked me anymore.
Baby, you were so money and you don't even know it.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-265-3636. From D.C. on WJFN 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Damn straight.
Okay, here you go. Here's the rejoiner.
Where is it? Gone. What happened? Dunno. They're good. Don and Mike.
All right, here we are, taking your phone calls. Love taking your phone calls. Bowling tonight against Howard Cosell's family. You know, I'm sorry. I think that's funny.
That is fantastic.
Howard Cosell's grandchildren.
And Howard Cosell is hot right now because of all the movies, you know, the TNT movie and then Ali. I mean, Howard Cosell's very much in the news again.
So tonight we're bowling against Howard Cosell's family, and it's at the Port Authority in Manhattan, and you're fighting
Screaming Gutter Balls. We will take the co-sales on starting at 8 o'clock. Love to love to meet you. Come on down, say hi, and generally get bombed with you.
Very good.
Let's see. Tomorrow, we're moving the contest to tomorrow. And we're trying to come up with a real...
I could really hear you scratch your beard just then.
A real crappy celebrity to play Magic Game with us.
Right.
And right now all signs point towards Valerie Harper.
That's excellent.
Valerie Harper.
Wow.
Yeah. How exciting is that?
No guarantee.
Yeah. Valerie Harper.
No guarantee. But we have a list of... of less.
We couldn't get George Hamilton, huh?
Less than desirable candidates to play the Match Game with us. And she's the top of our less than desirable list.
Remember, she smells really nice.
She does indeed.
Yeah. She's one pushy broad.
She's lovely.
But, I don't recall that.
But anyway, tomorrow the Match Game, and we'll be playing for $500 in cash. And this game, Who Do You Know? I guess we'll get to that at some point. And we do have to rate the winner, and we do have to read the letters for the Las Vegas Style Show. Johnny, you got my music there?
Yeah.
You got to come up right here?
Yep.
Okay, great. All right, hold on. Just need some background music. This is simply the lead. Simply the lead into the counseling session we're going to have.
Very good.
This is from one of the tabloids. Exposed, Michael Jordan's secret sex life.
It's a very huge tabloid story that's out this week.
Michael Jordan's burning obsession with sex and lusty women and his inability to remain faithful to his long-suffering wife, Juanita, has cost him his marriage and more than half of his staggering $400 million. After threatening to slap the NBA superstar with divorce papers three times in recent years, Juanita finally pulled the trigger when she realized her husband would never change. Michael is a serial womanizer, says a friend of Juanita's. When he tried to avoid scandal and played the devoted husband publicly, he lived a double life, sleeping with a variety of eager lovers. Friends say he had a particular taste for Asian girls, statuesque blondes, and stunning redheads.
Well, that's everybody.
And the women he bedded boasted that Michael was a superb lover who could go for hours at a time.
Absolutely.
A Globe investigation has uncovered the shocking sex secrets that led to what is shaping up to be one of the costliest divorces ever. Here are some of the facts the Globe has uncovered. Michael has a girl in at least one gentleman's club, usually two or three, in every NBA city he plays in.
Wow.
The 6'6" star loves oral.
Well.
And the thought of enjoying interludes with the wives and friends of business associates.
Oh, man. Well, this is heavy-duty stuff.
Michael set up separate phone numbers for girls to return his call, requiring him to have as many as 12 cell phones active at one time.
Oh, my God.
Michael Jordan perfected a hit-and-run style of romance that left his cheating virtually untraceable and without troubling consequences. Michael Jordan enjoyed talking on the phone with one woman while engaging in oral with another.
Oh, dear me.
Wow. The one-man advertising empire fears that a sex tape recreating his romp with a porn queen will surface and be seen by fans.
Sex tape.
Even though he claims it's not him in the video. Now, we've heard about this alleged tape for years.
Yeah, this has been going on where he is with, apparently, with a porn star, maybe two, where he's, engaged in it, but he says it's not him. So maybe he's seen it.
Despite his insatiable appetite for sex,
yes.
Michael Jordan was able to hold his marriage together until just 3 weeks ago. He's now 3 months into his comeback with the Wizards.
Hey, man, who's that cat coming down the street?
I don't know, but it sounds to me like that whipping man with the bone.
To soften the blow of his return to the NBA, Michael showered his wife with gifts, including a sapphire and diamond watch.
Lovely.
He also came close to buying him a $3.8 million mansion in the Palisades area of D.C. But sources say Juanita continued to hear about his infidelities and finally had enough and turning the other cheek. She remained living with the kids in the home in Highland Park, that's around Chicago, when Michael moved into their apartment in the Old Town section of Chicago.
Right.
The beginning of the end came when Juanita realized he wasn't going to give up basketball. To her, that meant he had no intention of changing his cheating ways. As long as Michael's playing in the NBA... he's having a side dish on the road. Juanita told Michael the letters she had received from women claiming they had sex with him, the phone calls from friends who had seen him partying with prostitutes for the past 12 years humiliated her. They met at Bennigan's in 1985 on Chicago's Michigan Avenue. Eventually, Juanita became pregnant. Michael didn't believe her until she slapped him with a paternity suit.
Whoa!
Lawyers were hammering out a settlement when Michael decided to tie the knot with the gorgeous Juanita. Now, that's a fact that's been hidden about Michael.
I didn't know that.
They were married at 3:30 a.m. at the Little White Wedding Chapel in Las Vegas. Jeffrey Jordan was already 10 months old. But from the start, the union was jeopardized by Michael's womanizing. Juanita once hatched a plan to catch her husband red-handed partying with strippers in a hotel suite. But Michael eluded her by climbing out on a window ledge.
Whoa!
His friends denied Juanita, said that he wasn't there. Meanwhile, he was shivering on a ledge high above Chicago.
Oh, man.
Around the same times, the Bulls' wives hit the roof over some of the lovables. Those are the cheerleaders,
right?
Who accompanied players on road trips.
Oh, dear. Sure.
Some of them are basically flying tramps, and Michael had his share. Many of the girls loved the games, but others were there for the sex, drugs, and booze.
Oh, man.
They were a harem. It was an orgy in every city. Michael Jordan thought nothing of having oral with one woman while gazing through the suite at players who were likewise being serviced.
Boy, sounds like quite a party time.
Over the years, a source reveals Juanita's private investigators have reported Michael Jordan likes to hang out in strip clubs and is fixated on exotic dancers and porn queens. He and other NBA stars have parties in private homes and hotel suites that turn into orgies with tens of thousands of dollars spent on high-class... There's the rest of the, continued on page 28. Rob, I don't have the... I don't have the continuing... I need the rest of it.
I need the rest of the article there.
And then you have... you got the rest of it there? Continued on page 28.
There we go.
Had the whole song.
Yeah, we heard all the songs.
Page 28. Well, it's a basketball song.
I understand it is, Don.
Page 28.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
27. What is that? What do you got? Okay. Oh, call girls. Okay.
Okay, did we find it?
He's obsessed with
here we go.
Call girls. We're ready to
restart. He's going to restart.
Of course. One of the porn queens Michael Jackson had a one-night stand with was Kylie Ireland, who boasts...
Oh, she's famous, Buzz.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. She's quoted here. She's one who comes out on the record and says she had sex with Michael Jordan. They got a picture here. She says... Michael has the biggest manhood I've ever seen.
Wow.
There you go.
She says she had sex with Michael Jordan in 1993 when he was in Denver watching the Super Bowl playoffs. He gets extra points for great stamina. She says she recreated the incident in a videotape called The Sex Lives of Stars. And Michael's terrified because the tape will service and cut into his
endorsement. Well, if it's just a recreation, then it's all BS.
You see, she is not the only beauty to publicly disclose her romantic relationship with Michael Jordan. Melissa Kellogg, a 23-year-old communications major at the University of North Carolina in Wilmington, has revealed details of the one-night stand they enjoyed. It was the best sex I have ever had, she says. I was swept away by his passion. He was slow and sensual. Stripped down, he's every bit the man you'd expect a 6'6 guy to be. Another woman who was Jordan's lover for months describes...
It's all about size.
Describes his lovemaking as sweet, yet powerful. She says the uncircumcised Michael Jordan...
Oh, I didn't need that picture.
...let his huge hands roam all over my body as he whispered sweet nothings and told me what he wanted me to do. One time, Michael was in L.A.'s Posh Century Club with a young Asian girl hanging all over him. She was stroking his arm and thigh and his lap.
Uh-oh.
Amazingly, Michael's been able to dodge major sex scandals because he's developed his own method of meeting and making love to women without hassles. His style is hit and run.
I love this article. Who put this together?
The Globe. He's dated strippers, porn stars, models, and actresses. Girls who know the game and treat sex with him as casually as getting his autograph. The method is smart and discreet. You never see Michael Jordan partying with women except as a group. He picks the woman, turns on the charm and disappears. Hit and run, hurrying back to the group as if nothing happened. One time, Michael was at a party with Juanita at the home of a business associate who had a beautiful, sexy wife who was flirting with him. Michael gave her a dose of the charm, and she led him to the bedroom, and they did it right in the middle of the party while Juanita was downstairs.
Wow.
Oh, my God. One of Michael's girlfriends told me he was particularly fond of oral with one girl while talking to another girl on the phone in his lap and in his ear. Globe's investigation also uncovered how easy it was for the basketball hero to hit on women in Chicago. Michael would go to clubs and restaurants on Rush Street. We spend time on Rush Street, Buzz. Most of those girls live in the places and apartments, walk to work. He has more money than God. What he would do, it says here, is Michael Jordan would buy a different cell phone for every girl he slept with.
Incredible.
When Michael is in New York, en route to gambling in New York City, he makes a beeline for Scores. He adores the lap dancers. The motto is the more the merrier when Michael Jordan takes the private room. He's generous with his cash. It's like an obsession with Michael to see how many girls he can bewitch and go to bed with at the same time. Mike's charm with the ladies rarely backfires, but he was recently shot down at Boston Club Avalon, where he visited during a golf tournament. Michael hit on 5 women, all complete strangers. When they said no, he just kept on as if they didn't really mean it. When it finally dawned on him that he'd been turned down, he stormed off in a snit. But he won't be getting his way with Juanita. I would never want to play poker with her because she's a master at keeping a straight face, says a lawyer. Up until now,
says a lawyer, that's the quote.
But till now, her girlfriends are all saying, it's going to get ugly. Fed up with Michael's dalliances, six of which are documented by private investigators she's had following her husband for years. Juanita filed for divorce January 4th. She wants custody of the kids, half the money, and their $5 million lakefront mansion in Highland Park, right, Chicago. It's one thing for Juanita to know Michael was cheating, but something for the rest of the world, blah, blah. That's the article.
There it is.
Written by Steve Hertz and Jeff Samuel.
Steve Hertz. Sounds like Michael needs counseling.
You know his brother, Dick, of course.
Yes, Dick wrote several articles for the Globe.
Let me see. And here's Kylie Ireland. She's got a picture in here.
Hello, Kyle.
Hey, we're in a basketball uniform. And a basketball uniform, number 69.
There you go. Huh.
And she's in the Globe, and
she looks like a bad girl.
She claims that she has had sex with Michael Jordan.
And she's going to recreate, or she has recreated it in a movie. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Michael, give me a call. Michael's a sensational lover. She was putting herself college by stripping at the Diamond Cabaret in Denver when Michael Jackson caught her act and gave her a Stevie.
Michael Jordan, right?
Michael Jordan, yeah, certainly not Michael Jackson.
Hi, never. Kylie. Michael, I can Jordan. Get her.
Caught her act and gave her a Stevie Night of Passion. I was 20 and it was the Friday night of Super Bowl weekend. Michael was in town because the Bulls were playing the Nuggets. I wanted to meet him, but he was surrounded by other dancers. A half hour later, a manager told her that Michael wanted to perform Michael wanted her to perform a table dance. He was nice and even paid for it. Most celebrities expected to get everything for free. He asked me to dinner. He was funny and charming. He let me rub the stubble on his shaved head.
I bet he did.
She then drove the NBA star back to his hotel.
All right.
We climbed into... I don't think we need the music anymore. I'm about done. Yeah. We climbed into my tiny Honda, and the drive was a riot because Michael was all hunched up with his head hitting the roof. She accepted Michael's invitation to go to his suite and strip for him. Then he took off his clothes, and he has a body like a Greek god. He was gentle and good. He said, let me get safe, and reach for a condom, but he had trouble putting it on.
Uh-oh.
Because he's so big.
Wow.
So he made a phone call, and 10 minutes later, a large condom was slipped under the door. Michael gave me the greatest sex I've ever had. And he has a good heart.
Wow. He had so trouble because he's so big.
So that's the,
let me get safe.
That's the,
let me get safe.
That's the story. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a couple. We don't know if this relationship can be saved.
I don't know.
But when we come back, we will have Michael and Juanita together.
For a counseling session.
For more counseling.
Very good.
Another counseling session.
Looking forward to that.
We'll be right back.
And Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Oh, come on, damn it. Oh, that sounds good. No,
melt the chocolate inside the dash. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here.
They have a thin candy shell. Surprised you didn't know it.
Okay, a brief bumper. Just brief. The Don and Mike Show.
Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Speak to us.
Colin. The other thing. Oh, you know what I know. Oh, you know what I know. Hold on a second. I know. I should be able to just. There you go. Hold on a second. Colin Cosell's on the phone. Hello, Colin.
Colin, are you there?
Colin?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
You are.
Brown with us on the phone. Here is Howard Cosell's grandson.
Hey, Colin, how you doing, buddy?
Good, guys. You ready to bowl tonight?
Yeah. Who from the Cosell family will be bowling tonight against us at the Port Authority?
Isn't that great at the Port Authority?
Yeah.
My brother will be joining us. My sister-in-law cannot make it. She's a little under the weather, so I had to bring in a ringer, who actually isn't a ringer at all. He's pretty bad. But,
good.
You've got two Cosells and three honorary Cosells.
Very right. Good. We're looking forward to it.
Beautiful.
It's going to be a blast. I'm freezing cold outside right now, and I'm right outside MTV Studios. There's a group of kids out here. We're doing some extra work for MTV before I come bowl with you guys.
Wow.
How pathetic is
it? It's horrible.
How pathetic is that? What kind of extra work are you doing for MTV?
You know something? I don't know, but it's a veritable hell over here. I'm doing it as a favor to for a friend of mine. I can't even speak straight. I'm so cold.
Wow.
Now, my nipples have both fallen off. My ears fell off. And my nads are somewhere around my lungs.
And you're the one extra that has the toupee and the oversized tie, right?
This is we're like cattle out here. We're waiting to go inside and, there's a group of really, really attractive ladies out here, though.
Sure.
Waiting. So if you want to say hi to them, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, guys. Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, they can say hi.
Hi, Don and Mike.
Hi, Don and Mike.
There you go.
Hi, girls. All right, Colin. Thanks. We'll see you tonight.
Hey, guys, we'll see you tonight.
See you tonight.
Bye, Colin.
Bye-bye. What is it? Is it that they don't have enough kids standing in the street for TRL now? Have they got to bus kids in?
I guess it's kind of a ringer situation where they bring in extras.
Well, Christ, why did I have such trouble getting that kid in TRL before Christmas?
I have no idea.
I think for extra taped bits that they stage to use in later programs.
Well, the kids are in school, too. It's a school day.
Of course they are.
Yeah, okay, hold on. Michael's here.
Michael? Let's Michael Jordan?
Yeah, let's bring Michael Jordan in. Hey.
Well, hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, hello.
Did you hear the article?
Yeah, I would. I think it's important to say that all of that is lies. It's not true. That was filled with half-truths. And you read that out of a tabloid, right?
Well, they have the...
I have never had an extra marital affair on Juanita. And I think the fact that you read that shows a great deal of irresponsibility on the broadcast part, but I am huge. I mean, I'm big. And I am uncircumcised.
Yeah, we do have a phone call for you.
Yeah, who's on the line? Hello?
You know who this is.
Oh, Juanita, come on, baby.
Now, listen, I want to tell you something right now.
No, there's no need for this, Juanita.
No, no, you...
That's where I want to be. Baby, it's
you
not true.
You listen to me right now, you big uncircumcised number 23.
It's not true, baby.
No, I know it's true.
Excuse me while I get safe.
I know it's true. Yeah, now I hear that on the radio.
That's not true, baby.
Now you're getting all while you're talking on the phone to another girl?
Oh, honey, can I tell you something right now? Come on, man.
No, that was
in a tabloid.
I want to tell the world.
That was in a tabloid.
I want to tell the world something right now.
Oh, no, come on.
Mr.
You're upset.
Michael Jordan.
No, now you're upset. Don't say something you're going to regret.
I'm going to tell you something right now.
I ain't going to give you all the money if you tell you something I regret.
I'm getting all the money anyway.
Oh, no. Baby, listen to me. Please, come around, baby.
You see, I know you can't see this on the radio, so what I'm going to...
How's that hoarseness in your voice, Juanita?
I'm gonna go over here to my lawyer. I think you might know him, Donald Ephraim.
Oh, no. Wow.
Donald, say hello.
Hello.
Why doesn't Donald lean more into the phone so we can hear him?
Hello.
Hello there, Donald.
Can you see this finger I'm holding out?
I can.
Is this my pinky finger?
That is your little pinky. Yes, your pinky finger.
Is it approximately 1.5 inches long?
1.25 inches, yeah.
That am the size of Mr. I'm Like a Horse, oh, Michael geez. Jordan.
Wow.
When
now,
he is
now you're upset.
Fully
you're upset.
Turgid.
Let me tell you something.
You got a teeny weeny.
You are very upset, and I'm going to ignore that fact. You know the fact that I am big, and I'm one of the biggest men in the NBA. And you,
you
know the
are
fact
not
that I'm
big.
Huge. I'm huge.
Bugs are bigger than you.
That's not true. You're upset.
That ain't true.
You're upset. You're divorcing me. You're upset, but I'll tell you, you
that's
know the
right.
facts. You know the facts.
You smell like poontang.
You know the facts, bitch.
Oh, now listen.
I'm sorry, Juanita. I got carried away.
Mr. E for me, just call me a bitch on the radio.
I got carried away. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You just call me a bitch.
Baby, listen to me. Take me back. Won't you please, baby?
No,
please take me
I
back.
I tell you what, I'll take you back. You cut that thing off.
I scored 30 points last night for you, baby.
You cut that thing off and you let me wear that on my...
I'm not cutting my junk off, baby.
Around my neck like
I'm
I
not
used
cutting
to wear
my junk off. What are you
ring?
Talking about?
Hell, I had to sue you in a paternity battle just to get you to marry me because you're my baby's daddy.
I love you, baby. I know. You know I love you.
I hate you.
I love you.
I hate you and
oh,
your teeny weeny.
Well, I need a baby.
And I'll tell you something else.
Take me back. I don't want to cut my penis off.
Oh, no. You got little balls.
I do not.
Yes, you do.
They're big. They're like basketballs.
No, they're like little M&Ms.
They are not. Juanita, you're angry, baby.
As a matter of fact, if I get myself a pencil, I could write M on one and M on the other.
Yeah,
I
mean, you are so angry, baby. Please stop being so angry. Take me back.
I'm going to get all your money, and I'm going to keep all the babies, and I'm going to get everything, and you can have your whores, and I hope you get some kind of venereal disease.
Now, let me tell you right now, baby, you know how much I love you.
Oh, hold on a second. You won't get the venereal disease because what is it you said in that article there?
Excuse me while I get safe.
Yeah, excuse me while I get safe.
Baby, you know how much I love you.
And what is this that you need a bigger condom set up? Please, you could get a condom for a newborn baby, and you would be swimming in it.
You know something, baby? I just want to say this once and for all. You know I want you to take me back.
I'm never taking you back.
Hey, baby, come on. You remember those good times we've had together?
I don't remember no good times. I remember you come home, you smell like badgy.
I do not, baby. It's on your head. You're making that up.
No, it's on your fingers. It's in your underpants.
You ain't thinking straight, baby. Juanita, take me back, baby, please.
I had the detective follow you around.
Why so angry, baby?
Because you F around on me. Oh. Everybody think, oh, him, the great Michael Jordan.
I'm a man, baby. I got needs. I'm a man. Give me some, cut me some slack, please.
I want to tell you something. You are no different than any other man. I just want to say that the only decent men I ever met in my life are these two white boys doing this show right now. I want to say that if you was half the man that Don Geronimo's and Michael Maris is, you would be married to me right now, and you'd have all your money.
Those guys are gay.
They are not fags.
They're gay.
They are not fags.
I read an article that said they were gay. They're gay. Don and Mike are gay.
Would you
especially
read,
Don.
Would you read that article? I think I may have read an article that said Mike was gay.
Yeah, no, Don's the gay one.
No. I'm sure I read the article that said Mike was gay and Mike had some kind of fantasy, some kind of wild child pornography fantasy about the Willy Wonkas. I read nothing except good stuff about Don.
Yeah, excuse me while I get safe. Let me tell you something, Juanita. Can't you just give me one more chance, baby?
No, because you got the guilty aroma of the vaggie.
Yeah. All right, baby. What if I scrub up and get rid of the guilty aroma
no
of the vaggie?
There's no soap in this world.
I'm smelling my fingers right now, baby. They smell fine.
Hold your fingers up to the microphone.
Okay, here you go.
Hey.
You smell that? Does that smell good?
You were with a redhead last night.
Oh, come on. I'll get you all the ballpark pranks you want.
You were with a redhead last night.
Oh, come on now.
And you on the telephone. You talking. Who are you talking to while you getting this pleasure? You talking to your fag friend, Ahmad Rashad.
Juanita, you can't blame me for talking to you sometimes and getting pleasure.
I
want to get pleasure every now and then, Juanita.
When is he going to change his name back to Bobby Moore, being as it's not fashionable to be a Muslim right now?
Now, Juanita, stop picking on Ahmad. Come on.
Ahmad? You know what? I should have hired Ahmad Rashad as my private investigator.
Hold on, Juanita. Hold on a second.
He lives in your rectum.
Hold on a second. I got another phone ringing. Hold on.
All right.
Hold on just a second.
Is it one of your cell phones?
Hello? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I hear that.
Oh, yeah, baby.
I hear that.
Yeah, baby. Oh, I will, baby.
I hear that.
Yeah, you too.
Now, he going to tell me some bull crap like that with Gatorades on the telephone with him.
Underwear. You just give me 5 minutes. Okay, goodbye.
That's a whore.
A phone call. I was a business call, Juanita.
Who is it on the phone? Tell me
Mr. Polans.
It was not Mr. Polans. You don't talk like that to Mr. Polans. That was a whore.
It was not.
That was a whore.
No, it wasn't. Juanita, take me back, baby.
Was it Kobe?
It wasn't Kobe. It was Mr. Polans.
Mr. Polans. And what were you talking about Mr. Polans with?
Your business.
You know how I know that's a lie?
How do you know that's a lie?
Because I just took care of him in his wheelchair.
Oh, you did?
I did.
That's a lie.
That is not a lie.
He was on the phone with me.
He was not. Mr. Abe Polans is my lover.
Oh, my God. Juanita, why are you hurting me so bad?
Because you hurt me so bad.
Baby, take me back. Baby, please take me back.
You're not Mr. Gatorade. You're not Mr. Hanes underwear. You're just a bad man who loved a vaggie.
You love Space Jam, baby. That's what you told me.
I tell you something. That movie sucked my V.
Oh, no. Baby, why so cruel?
That movie bad. That's a bad Roger Rabbit.
Take me back, Juanita, please.
Never.
Oh, man.
Never. I read in the tabloid.
Yeah.
And I got you by your small little M&M-sized nuts.
Hold on just a second, Juanita. I got another call coming in.
Oh, now listen.
Like a dozen phones.
Hello?
He going to say it's like Wheaties on the phone. Hello, just have Wheaties on the telephone.
Yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Yes. Listen to him.
I need a box of extra larges.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, for his wiener.
That's right.
Please.
Hello there.
I've seen his wiener.
That was Mr. Polans again.
You want to see his wiener. You know what you do? You get yourself one of them Sherlock Holmes things, one of them magnifying glasses.
Juanita, stop being so cruel to me, baby.
When I wanted to pleasure him, I would have to get out a pair of tweezers in order to give him manual release.
Oh, man, you're talking smack, Juanita. Come on.
I'm talking truth.
Come on, Juanita, please. Let's take another go.
This fine black ass is never going to have to see your ugly, bald head and your tiny wiener again.
Well, listen, Juanita, I can't keep talking to you, baby.
Why can't you keep talking to me?
I got an appointment.
An appointment with who?
I got an appointment with my business manager.
With your hoes?
That's not true, baby.
With your hoes?
No, baby, it's not true, please.
I'm tired of you and I'm tired of you messing around with me. I'm getting all the monies and I'm having sex with Abe Polans.
Juanita, don't go like this, baby. Tell me you love me.
I hate you.
Juanita, be a good girl.
I rue the day that I ever went to the Bennigans.
Juanita.
I rue the day that
Juanita.
I met you. You knocked me up. You my baby's daddy.
I'm your baby, daddy. I love you, Juanita.
I gotta take you to paternity court. You married me when I was a son and 10 months old.
Juanita, stop you yelling. Love me, don't hate me, baby.
I hate you and I hate your little genitals.
If that's the way it's gonna be, that's the way it's gonna be.
That is the way it's gonna be.
Well, ain't nothing I can do about it.
I got two words for you.
Yeah, what's that? Diet?
Mr. Johnny Cochran.
Oh, no, Juanita, don't do that to me, baby.
That's right.
Oh,
hey,
no.
Donald Ephraim. Hey, Cracker.
Yes?
You're fired. Get your ass out of my house.
Stay cool. Stay cool.
Get your white ass out of my house.
Oh, no,
Coyne,
baby.
Joe Coyne, we need you in the office right now.
I only got room for one old white man in the house, and it's right here in Poland, who is in the wheelchair. Honey and Mommy will be there. Oh, did you make a mess in your diaper again?
Oh, baby.
Oh, Mr. Poland, Mommy, I'm going to clean you up. I'm going to wipe you. I'm going to put you on a brand new diaper.
Hey, Juanita.
Yeah.
This marriage is over, baby.
Oh, hello, I'm talking to Captain Obvious.
Yes, sir, this counseling didn't work, baby.
This ain't counseling, baby.
Okay, I'll see you in court.
Yeah, Mr. Johnny said he'd see you in court.
Yeah, don't try to eat too many donuts while I'm gone.
Don't try to bang too many hoes.
F you, Juanita.
F you.
F you.
F you, teeny weeny.
F you, big ass.
F you.
I hate you.
I hate you.
Yeah, that's the way it's going to be there.
You're a bad lay.
Oh, yeah.
And incidentally.
Yeah?
you ain't that good playing basketball anymore either.
Oh, baby, you know you just hurt me bad.
And that game against the Bulls on Saturday, that game sucked my V.
Oh, man, why you have to be cruel? Why you have to talk about my living?
Why you got to bang those hoes?
Yeah, I got needs, Juanita.
Well, what do you think I got between my legs? I got the answer, but that's never the answer you want.
I know. You know I don't like doing that for you, Juanita.
But you do it for all the hoes.
No, I don't. I never go down there.
Yes, you do.
They do it to me.
No, I smelled it on you before.
Oh, that's right. That one time.
No, that one time.
That's when I had a goatee.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry, Juanita.
I smelled it in your beard.
That's right, baby.
You come home and I say, Michael, hello, I miss you. Oh, your beard smells like veggie.
You know what I call that?
What?
I don't call it no beard.
What is it?
Flavor saver.
Oh.
Yeah, baby.
You know, this is embarrassing. You used to be a national hero to
millions
of children.
I am a national hero. I know, baby.
But look at you now. Look what you've done.
That's
you,
all right.
You just a common, hoe-loving a-hole.
Oh, man, Juanita, please don't be so angry, baby.
You know who I really do love, though?
Who's that?
Where's that Buzz Burbank? Oh.
He's right here, baby. He's
hey,
next
baby.
Hi, Juanita.
When you go come over, give me some of that white bologna. I'll
you be... watch who you're talking to there, Buzz.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I'm sitting here next to Michael. But...
I'm bigger. I'm stronger. I will always beat you.
Yeah,
you
Buzz, your wiener's much bigger.
Thank you. Thank you, Juanita.
Now I'm getting grossed out.
And I want to say something else, as long as I have this form here.
Yeah, go ahead, buddy.
It's got nothing to do with you.
What's that, baby?
I just want to say, Rob Spiewak?
What about Rob Spiewak?
I don't know why you are the way you are.
Yeah, me too, Rob. Yeah.
I don't know why.
You know, that's one thing we can agree on.
I praise for you, Rob Spiewak.
He's bad.
I'll take your prayer.
You're a bad man, Rob Spiewak.
I pray for you.
You're a bad man.
A very bad man.
You're a bad man, Rob.
I wish you both the best, MJ, JJ. I wish you well.
F you, Whitey.
Yeah. Oh.
There you go. That's right. I agree. I second that. F you, Rob.
Oh. And F you, MJ.
Same to you, Juanita.
It's JJ to you.
JJ, baby.
All right, goodbye. Hey, Buzz?
Yes, Juanita.
Goodbye, baby.
See you later.
Mr. Polis, I'm going to come wipe you now.
Oh, man, that's my wife. That's Juanita.
You get Mr. Johnny on the phone for me now. Oh, yeah. Oh, Mr. Polis? Oh, look what you did.
She left the phone off the hook.
Look at that. You left me a little surprise. Oh, look at that. I'm going to clean that up. Look at that. So pretty. That looks like something the doggy would do. Oh, that is so nice.
Wow.
Hey, you run over. Mommy going to get out your powder. For your poor chafed behind.
There's a picture.
You poor, kindly man.
Sounds like she's wiping him.
Oh, I didn't hang up the telephone. Oh, God damn it.
She's discovered. Oh.
Man, she was wiping Mr. Polis.
Sounded like it.
Oh, man, I tell you, I'm doomed. I got to go.
I think so.
All right, well, thanks for coming by for counseling, Michael.
Hey, my pleasure. I got a date.
I know you do.
See you later.
See you later.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
That didn't work well.
No,
they still seem to really hate each other.
They do. She's true, though. That's a national icon.
Yeah, I didn't know that Juanita Jordan was powdering Abe Poland, though.
Going right down the crapper.
That is messed up.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
It's Buzz.
Juanita's he made it up.
There he is. All right, Baloney Pony.
Hi.
What's the lead story today?
Our headline right now is OJ's girlfriend is no longer missing.
Oh, see, earlier when we were teasing this, we were saying we're saving the story for Buzz. I said, the last I had heard, the girlfriend was missing, and the cops were on the chase looking for a head on the side of the road.
It's ever-changing.
Ooh. All right, then we'll get the OJ update from Buzz in just a second.
Stay tuned. For news and comments.
News and comments. Coming up.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. That was very...
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The word from Planet Crackpot.
Where's the call in card? Hold on, give me a second here. We had this thing timed out perfectly. Oh, there it was. There it was. It was his machine number one.
You want to start again?
Yeah, I do.
That's a nice little intro for that. You were very excited about the extra long clap for the Wolfman intro.
You don't mind. You hardly ever get to hear that. Let's forget that last thing just happened.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll go...
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK, 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW, 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
Almost nailed it.
All right, that's close.
They're not just broadcasters, they're neighbors. Don and Mike.
Now let's go right to the news cubicle. Here is Guy J. Birdley. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Well, O.J. Simpson's off-and-on girlfriend is no longer considered missing, but her cat is still dead. And Miami police have asked O.J. if he knows the whereabouts of 27-year-old Christy Prody. He told them she's okay, that she's just out and about, but she wasn't home when police busted into her apartment after neighbors reported a foul odor. The odor apparently came...
The odor of death.
The stench of death.
The odor of Nicole.
Wow. No, the odor of dead cat in this case.
Ew.
But the cops also found her place in shambles. The apartment appeared to be ransacked.
Uh-oh.
There was half-packed luggage lying around.
So you're saying it smelled like bad pussy?
Yes. Yes, it did.
Dead pussy.
Gone very bad. Her family says, however, this is not the first time Christine has vanished. And now her landlord says he's heard from her, and police say she's not considered a missing person until somebody files a missing person report. So although she's not considered missing and we're told that she's around...
No one's seen her?
We still don't know where she is.
So her head still might be on I-95 somewhere between Miami and Fort Lauderdale.
We'll just have to wait and see.
And her place has been ransacked.
It appears that way, yeah. The place is in shambles. There's, like I said, half-packed luggage laying around.
And someone has killed her pussy.
It's chaos.
Very, very strange.
Hmm. All right, so her cat's dead.
Right.
She's missing.
Well, maybe.
Her landlord said that he heard from her.
Yeah.
What would you call your landlord?
That's hinky.
But they say in order for the cat to have starved to death, the estimate is that she's been gone from that apartment for about a month. So there's that.
Okay.
Maybe the cat committed suicide.
Yeah, that's probably it.
Yeah.
OJ's lawyer is furious that police have questioned his client about this. He says Simpson and Prody don't date anymore. And that O.J. loves animals.
Oh, God. I love the defense of O.J.
It's incredible.
I never get sick of O.J.
He loves animals.
It's always something. Mike Tyson has issued a statement that suggests yesterday's media melee was all theatrics to promote his upcoming...
Oh, anybody in here can't f*** the dessert, man. This is the ultimate, man. You hoe. Come and say in my face, you f***ing for everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You're scared coward. You got man enough to f*** with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. And look at you scared now, you hoe. Scared like a little white f***. Scared of the real man. I'll f*** you till you love me, faggot.
Well, that's theatrics right there. I'll F you till you love me, faggot.
Wow. Reporters who were there say the punches were as real as the blood that flowed from Tyson's forehead and the tears that ran from his eyes.
Oh, no.
If we were judging the fight, we'd have to give the win to Lewis because his was apparently the only punch that connected. The fight began when Tyson started toward Lewis and was turned away by one of Lewis's bodyguards. Tyson then threw a left hook that brushed the head of the bodyguard. There were people in the way. And as their people tried to break them up, Lewis threw a right that hit Tyson in the side of the head. Tyson was reportedly reduced to tears after one reporter yelled, "Put him in a straitjacket." That's when the obscene tirade you just heard began.
Yeah. So he was kind of crying. You know, it sounds like he's kind of crying. You ho.
I'll F you until you love me, faggot.
And now, Las Vegas police say they are preparing felony rape charges, new charges, against Mike Tyson. Oh, no. The district attorney in Las Vegas
Now, listen to this, man. How could you possibly think this man would be even possibly remotely involved with a rape? Listen to
me. Anybody in here can't f*** the dessert, man. This is the ultimate, man.
Sane, rational.
Come and say in my face.
Loving, caring.
Everybody. You bitch. Come on, you bitch. You're scared coward. You got man enough to f*** with me. You can't last 2 minutes in my world, bitch. Look at you scared now, you hog. Scared like a little white b***. Scared of the real man. I'll f*** you till you love me, faggot.
Sounds like Tim Russert to me.
Wow.
Not that guy.
Mm-hmm. The DA says he wants to make sure he has enough evidence to win the case, but quoting one policeman,
we have probable cause.
And for the record, I love it when DAs use in the real
DA,
sense.
Yeah.
That means district attorney, not dumbass. Not the way we use DA.
No, right. We use it our own loving way.
Yes.
An 11-year-old boy was arrested here in New York yesterday, 11 years old, on sexual abuse charges. The boy was busted at a Brooklyn public school after five of his female classmates said he had fondled them in hallways and in a classroom.
He's just a boy.
His parents called the police.
And New York
boy just finding his way in the world. Spoken like a father of a son.
Yeah.
Not the father of daughters.
No. That's right.
Yeah. New York's bravest were even braver than we thought. The city's fire officials have revealed that they issued an order for the firefighters in the World Trade Center to evacuate after they'd heard that a third jet was headed for the area. The firefighters, focused on saving lives, ignored that evacuation order.
No surprise there.
And then the buildings collapsed, something fire officials did not expect. Fire officials say they will not discourage heroism in the future, but they say they are working on a better system of communication between command and the officer, the firefighters.
Gotcha. Oh, hold on a second, Buzz.
Yes.
What is this? Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Hello?
Hmm.
There's some dude about Mike Tyson?
Hello?
Speak to us.
Well, I don't know. The
phone's broken again?
No, I don't know if the phone is broken or the guy who's just a DA.
Yeah.
I think it is the phone that's busted. Look at that. I keep pushing the...
Oh, that's not good.
Pushing the thing and nothing's happening.
The phone is being a DA.
Yeah. You got the guy there, Robbie?
Hello? Are you there?
Okay, right now, we can't put him on the air, though.
You should be able to punch him
right. There you go.
Right now.
Hell, there you go. Up there, click. Hi, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi. How you doing?
Oh, hi.
I love the show.
Thanks.
Just want to tell you, the bravest guy in the world is that first security guy that stepped in between Tyson and Lennox. Lennox Lewis?
Right.
Yeah, okay. I saw the videotape, and it did seem like Tyson was going right for him.
Yeah.
It didn't look like there was any stopping that he was going up there to either get in his face or maybe throw a punch.
Well, that first guy just stepped right in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was brave and crazy.
Very correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Thanks, guys.
Okay, you got it. Yeah.
That's the title of your autobiography, isn't it?
Brave and Crazy.
Brave and Crazy. Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Well, all these people that have the Mike Tyson comments, I don't know what's happening. They're all dropping off the phones. Hello.
Is the light shining on the phone again?
I think it is. Hello, Don and Mike.
Well, forget it. Continue, Buzz.
All right.
Sorry. New York's September 11th fund is now past the $6 billion mark, and the families of the victims are being reassured that they will at least get something for their losses. Some families appear to be destined for no money. That's because of a formula that deducts a victim's insurance and pension from their family's share of the relief fund. Now the families are being told they'll at least get something, that no family will get nothing. CBS is turning to Hitler for ratings. The iNetwork says it's developing a 4-hour miniseries about the young Adolf.
Rob Spielak!
The miniseries to air next season will be about Hitler's life from his youth to his rise to power. The network says the story will be historically accurate. Quoting one CBS executive, "We're going to put the story up and let the audience judge him."
Wow.
Like there's still some questions.
You know what? Let me just think about
that. Dumbass comment that is.
Was Hitler good or bad? You know what? I'm afraid I can't decide until CBS turns it into a miniseries.
We better let the audience decide.
I felt the same way about Jesus before they had the miniseries about Jesus.
Yeah.
Then after watching that miniseries, I decided Jesus was okay.
We're just going to lay the whole story out and let the audience decide for themselves.
Yeah, it's always good to use a made-for-television product to help make your decision on a major history thing.
All right, so they're in the meeting, right? They're in the pitch meeting, and they're sitting around. They go, "Man, we're getting our ass kicked with Survivor now. We got Raymond, but beyond that, we got nothing anybody wants to watch." And finally, some guy in the back says, "How about Hitler?"
You got it.
And they go, "But wait. How do we know? We don't really know. What we should do is make a documentary about him.
Yeah,
outline all the facts." Mm-hmm. Let the audience decide for themselves.
Yeah, I think we portray Hitler, but let's not try to be too biased.
Be fair.
And you know,
you know what they should do is that thing. Have you seen the thing that Fox is doing during games now? Which I'm a big fan of. I like this.
It's where they've got the survey going?
Yeah, where during the game they ask a question like, should the Rams throw the ball more now?
Right.
And you go to whatever the site is and you log on, and like one play later, it comes back and it says 80% yes, 20% no.
You'll notice during our miniseries, Hitler is a house painter, had a 30% approval rating, and then, of course, as he got into it, just falls right off the cliff.
But, you know, they're focusing on the young Hitler. They could make it like a soap opera, make it like Hitler's Creek. It could be just like the young Hitler.
You know, maybe we shouldn't have allowed you to participate in this discussion.
It'd be more fun.
They got the thing. They got the thing on the bottom of the screen saying, you know, at this point in life, was Hitler bad yet? You know, and it's
when
just
did
like,
he turn the corner?
And it's just like, you know, well, one of the questions I love it during the Rams game. One of the questions was, should the Packers continue with the seven defensive backs? They were playing seven defensive backs, and you see the audience. It was like 82% no.
No.
No, because on the next play, the Rams figured out since the Packers had seven defensive backs,
right.
He could give the ball to Marshall Faulk.
And he could run all day.
And he had like an 80-yard run or something like that. So anyway, that's the mindset at CBS. But we don't want to taint the audience. We don't want to, you know, we're going to say we're going to lay it out there and let them decide if Hitler was bad or not.
Yeah, we'll just give you all the facts.
Questions still up in the air.
Hate to go out on that limb.
Really?
Hate to go out on that limb and say, we officially think Hitler was bad.
Yeah, well, maybe they were looking at, like, the Discovery Channel and A&E, you know, and saying, hey, look what they got there, huh?
Well, that, the History Channel might as well be the Hitler Channel.
Sure.
He's on all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And this should be interesting. Judging from Harrison Ford's performance at the Golden Globes Sunday night, Steven Spielberg has just confirmed that he's working on a third sequel to Raiders of the Lost Ark, and he says Harrison Ford will star once again along with Spielberg's wife, Kate Capshaw. He says the fourth movie has a title, but that he's not ready to announce it yet.
So. Harrison is senile.
Yeah. I mean, the title of the movie is Box Office Cancer.
How could that be after that tape we heard of Harrison Ford?
Of course, even at, you know, slightly longer in the tooth Kate Capshaw, I'd still like to see those Hanging Gardens.
Sure. I'm not a chance you're going to see those boobs.
That's for sure.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Indiana Jones and the Temple of Hangover. Although we got a break before you get to Rosie O'Donnell.
All right, then.
Hello, Josh. Josh, not a Mike show.
Yeah, I think that NBC should combine their successful shows and just, you know, make Everybody Loves Hitler. Nice, you know, comedy, historical document, you know?
It's right. Coming.
You mean CBS?
Yes. CBS, right.
CBS,
sorry.
Right. Okay, thank you. Hold on. Buzz, we got a break.
All right.
And we'll be right back, everybody.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, if you want to change your image, you got to get your face out there. Oh. On the radio.
That's it. The radio. I'll go on the most popular program of the day. I assume that's still Don McNeil and his Breakfast Club.
Can they be kind? Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Well, we try. All right, let's get the Toast Happy Touch Tone. There they are. Time now for a call number 100. 877-365-3636, the national number, Washington, D.C., WJFK, 202-432-1067, New York, WNEW, 877-692-1027, call number 100, Dial Like a Banshee. Here now is Buzz Girdley. Hi, Buzz. Oh, we're up. Bowling tonight. Hot gutter ball action tonight against Howard Cosell's family at Leisure Time. That is the bowling alley at the Port Authority in Manhattan.
Looking forward to that and seeing the entire Cosell family.
Love to see you guys out there tonight. Come on out. We'll get bombed together. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Rosie O'Donnell will play a lesbian in an upcoming episode of Will and Grace.
Ooh.
The show's producers are not insensitive. When Rosie landed the role, they changed the character they'd written to heterosexual. They say Rosie made them change it back.
Change it back to gay.
It's not your father.
Feast on the yeast.
It's not your father's sitcom about a guy named Ozzy. MTV is getting ready to launch the first reality-based sitcom featuring the adventures of Ozzy Osbourne and his family.
I'm watching that.
Yeah, the Osbournes will be about the 53-year-old former frontman for Black Sabbath raising his two teenage kids. Will it be funny? MTV says in one episode, the tattoo-covered Ozzy gets upset with his daughter for coming home with a tattoo. In another, Ozzy loses the family cat, Fluffy, and wanders the streets of Beverly Hills calling her name.
Have you heard Ozzy Osbourne?
That's a winner.
Right there, that's funny.
That's a winner.
Yeah. I like that new Real World cast, too.
Oh, the one that's back in New York?
Yeah, the one that's in Chicago. Yeah, they're very, very, very cool.
I'm missing out. I thought they were back in New York.
It's a new one.
The old one was New York. The brand new one is in Chicago.
I've not seen the brand new one yet.
There's a couple of them that are very in there. Of course, there's the obligatory gay guy and then the lesbian girl, which I think now is going to be in every single Real World house that they're going to have.
Always. Like, what's wrong with that, Mike?
Nothing at all.
What's your problem with that?
I'm not homophobic. All right.
Quoting one movie producer, everyone wants someone to play a retard.
The producer was talking to a New York Post reporter about the latest apparent trend at the movies.
Yes.
Sean Penn stars in I Am Sam about a developmentally impaired guy.
Listen, I've said this before, and I'm not saying this is a joke. I have said that, I documented for years, I swear to Christ, it is the easiest role to play a retard.
Well, there's another reason, apparently. Two movies that premiered at the Sundance Film Festival also feature mentally handicapped characters, both of whom are seduced by people of average IQ. The paper quotes another producer as saying, it hasn't been this bad since Forrest Gump. He's talking about the fact that movies featuring such characters tend to win awards.
Of course, and have you seen the ad for I Am Sam?
With Sean Penn?
Mm-hmm. I about fell out of my chair laughing when they're sitting around playing cards.
I haven't seen the character.
And it's Sean Penn pretending to be a retard.
Oh, really?
It's like, who needs practice at being a retard?
Right.
Everybody can be a retard. Hey, how are you?
The stories also tend to be heartwarming, and a lot of people are saying this is Sean Penn's obvious play for an Oscar nomination.
And to be honest, Forrest Gump was not retarded. Forrest Gump was...
Well, he was mildly
75
retarded.
75 IQ, which is like the make or break line, right?
Well, mentally handicapped, whatever you know.
But Forrest Gump
challenged.
He wasn't a tard.
Run, Forrest, run.
It's a matter of degrees.
But I mean, I Am Sam, that guy is retarded, now, that Sean Penn plays.
Cliff Robertson won an Oscar for Charlie. Dustin Hoffman got one for Rain Man. Tom Hanks got one for Forrest Gump. Mickey Rooney won a Golden Globe for the movie Bill.
But you know what?
A pattern emerging.
Mickey Rooney is Bill.
The one movie where the two retards married each other, though.
That didn't do well.
That did nothing.
Right.
And you know why? Yeah, what was the name of it?
Also The Other Sister.
No, that's the one, The Other Sister.
That's the one I'm talking about. Where the two retards married each other.
That did not do well. That's right.
And I'll tell you why it didn't do well. Because they didn't let them get pregnant.
Ah.
That's what people want to see.
That's the secret.
It's two retarded people getting together and having a child.
Perhaps
is that what people want to see?
That's what people want to see.
Is that what your survey says?
That's what my research is telling me that people want from their retarded movies.
Look, it's right
babies.
There. It's right there at the bottom of the screen.
Two retards having babies.
Okay. In sports, the Washington...
Green light it.
The Washington Redskins won't be hiring a single general manager. They're hiring two guys to share the duties. They've hired their former contract negotiator, Joe Mendez, as vice president of football operations, and the Skins say they will now hire a director of player personnel, probably former personnel director Vinny Serrato.
The Bug Eyes.
Oh, you're kidding me.
No.
Bug Eyes is coming back to the Redskins?
Oh, my God, that's disaster.
That was the plan as of this morning. And finally, an American woman flying back to the U.S. from Scandinavia didn't need to fasten her seatbelt as the plane prepared to land. She was pretty sure she was secure right where she was. She was stuck on the seat of a toilet in one of the plane's lavatories.
Help me, dear friends.
The woman says that after she pushed the flush button, a tremendous vacuum was created, sealing her to the toilet. Not even the landing could break the seal. Maintenance personnel on the ground had to help her out. She's now filed a formal complaint with Scandinavian Airlines, quoting an airline spokesman. She was stuck there for quite a long time. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Yes. That's it. Got to go. Join the Gutterballs tonight. It's the Battle of Family Cosell in Manhattan at Leisure Time, 8 o'clock. Leisure Time's on the second floor of the Port Authority. For directions, call 212-GO-BALLS! 268-6909. Tomorrow on the show, the return of Match Game 2002 with, we hope, a real good old-fashioned B-level celebrity.
All right.
Tomorrow we're giving away $500 and a two-night getaway to Wintergreen Resort where we play the Match Game. Courtesy of Contact. Contact wants you to feel comfortable. Don't let a cold get you down. Be prepared by Contact. Use as directed. Plus, tomorrow we'll hopefully start the rating of the women.
Good.
Something we talked about and we have just never gotten to. My apologies. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, I'm Cole 100.
Right, and what's your name, citizen?
Lee.
Where are you from?
New Jersey.
Call 100. You've won the two-disc DVD copy of MASH, the classic Academy Award-winning film uncut and fully restored from Fox, and a three-disc DVD copy of the first season, really the best season, of MASH, the TV show. All 24 episodes. Own these DVDs today. Go buy them, everybody. But you have them for free. Thank you for listening.
Thank you very much.
That's it. We got to fly. Off to go bowling tonight.
Yes. Go balls!
Full report tomorrow, Match Game tomorrow, and that's it. We got to go. Good day to you, sir.
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 Good day to you, sir. And bye, Dill. We never say bye to Dill on the shows.
Goodbye, Dill.
Goodbye, Dill.
Bye, Dill.
Hey, Dill.
Bye, Dill.
Pink Dill.
Bye,
Dill. Bye. Bye there. Say bye to Lisa. Rob?
Can you?
Can you be kind?
Can you be kind?
Can you be kind? Rob, please throw your hat in the air just like Sydney. Tyler Moore. You might Now that's
yes. That's
beautiful. Siegfried Roy, we'll see you tonight.
So long, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.